your mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
Hey, Calvin, Dean, and Lisa, may I force it in you? What's happening?
You're an idiot.
All right, well, I'll leave you to say that, and I'll just thank you for joining me as you're saying that. Bean from KROQ, I do appreciate you being on Showbiz tonight with us.
Thank you for having us. Pop us out.
Oh, Bean. Oh, Bean. Yeah, Bean. Oh, God, Bean.
It's 5:30 in the morning. What the hell are you doing?
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No.
The
next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
And now.
So was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:31. And it's Tuesday, the 15th of January.
So you probably thought I was going to come out because I asked Mike to tell you that. But then I remembered it was you, and it was going through the filter, so I figured I better wait in Jack's.
Oh, well, how dare you?
I
waited, you were ready, so I'd say that was your problem.
I'm just saying, I couldn't be sure. Plus, I think we need the world premiere, the K-Rock world premiere intro anyway, before I hit the button I'm about to hit. Now that I've rethunk it, I think this needs to be a bigger deal than I was going to make it.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Are you listening?
I am.
How about getting the world premiere thing? He was in the back looking through the cabinet for something.
No, I was getting what I think he might be talking about.
Well, this is going well, and I would like to say thumbs up to both of you.
This is a good start.
Are you ready?
Mike, I have what I want to play. I just need you to give me the K-Rock World premiere. That's all I'm saying.
Begin sequence.
Now, a K-Rock World premiere exclusive.
K-Rock, K-Rock, K-Rock,
K-Rock. Oh, come no.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Won't you please enjoy?
No longer Halloween.
Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King
Jr.
Equality is gonna happen. I have a dream. Martin Luther King
Jr.
outside my window. Martin Luther King
Jr.
behind the tree. We celebrate his life, you see. Cause he got shot on the balcony, and it's Martin Luther King
Jr.
outside my window pane.
I have a dream. Assassinate. Hold hands in the promised land.
NAACP.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
End segregation and racial discrimination.
Jim Crow's laws.
I'm black.
Assassinate.
I have a dream.
Thanks for the day off.
Martin Luther King
Jr.
outside my window. King
Jr.
behind the tree.
Come on.
Yay!
Come on,
wow.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That
how about that?
Awesome.
Wow.
It's great. Come on.
What's awesome about it is that Kevin hates Halloween spooks more than anything in the world, and he really hates that time of year when those 2 weeks come around that I have to play it all the time. And then this past year, 2007, was the year of magic because then it went right into Thanksgiving spooks, which extended the holiday another month, and then right into Hanukkah spooks, and now, ladies and gentlemen, Martin Luther King spooks. Come on.
Junior.
Exactly. So today is Dr. King's birthday, by the way, so that's our touching tribute to him. And of course, you'll be hearing that a lot this week as we lead up to the holiday on Monday.
Why didn't they have the holiday today? That's weird.
Because they do it on Mondays, because it's the Monday holiday bell.
But then why didn't they have it yesterday?
I think they always do it after his birthday, either on his birthday or after his birthday. I don't think they do it before.
They have strict laws about how they can do it, huh?
Apparently.
Well, they do. I mean, it was a congressional act, the Monday holiday bill. It's the same thing with President's Day or any number of other holidays that they do that way.
Christmas.
So, yeah, it's the first Monday after his birthday, unless his birthday falls on a Monday.
And then it's the one before.
No, never the one before.
Day. Okay.
Never the one before. Right, exactly.
I got you.
So we only get this for a day. Just today?
No.
The song?
Well, yeah, today and I guess Monday, this coming Monday when we celebrate.
This whole week leading up to the holiday, absolutely.
All right,
well, promise me that.
No. I don't think we need to play it all week. Just today is
enough.
Absolutely. But since the holiday isn't until Monday,
I think we have a full week. Yeah, we got a full week to enjoy it. And that'll lead us right into President's Day spooks. So I couldn't be more excited. St. Patrick's Day spooks.
Yeah.
This is going to be a good year.
Easter spooks. Easter, yeah, all of them. Why not?
July 4th spooks.
Arbor Day spooks.
exactly. So that's how you want to start your day right there.
Absolutely.
Well, that was painful.
I forgive you both.
Okay. It was kind of a rocky start, but it was worth it, right?
It was worth it. It's
like a date that got off to, you know, the first 15 minutes you didn't have anything to talk about, then all of a sudden you end up doing it.
Next thing you know, you're in bed. You don't know how you got
there. You kiss him and it works.
Yeah. So, Lisa, are you very deeply in love with David Grohl?
Isn't he the best? I mean,
he is the best.
He really is
the
best.
Those breakfasts are always fun, but then when you have someone like him to interview, and he's so charming and funny and honest,
yep.
I just love him. Yes, I'm deeply, deeply.
I don't know how he manages to be one of the biggest rock stars in the world and still seem to be so down to earth and just like the kind of guy you want to have a beer with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't know how he's able to do that, especially with the career he's had.
That's his niche. I don't think it's a matter of being able to continue to do that. I think that's what he's done to create the identity for the Foo Fighters is that they're the nice guys could sell out the arena rock band, but they're still the guys that seem like they would hang out with you in your basement and play PlayStation, you know?
But you act like they sat down and crafted that plan ahead of time.
No, I think it's organic, but at the same time, I think that is their – I mean, every band has their identity, and I think they are everybody's best friend rock band. You know, I think they become that.
They never get into fights with photographers outside nightclubs. That doesn't happen. There's never a drunk driving arrest. There's never child support issues. I mean, it's just they seem to be clean and still manage to rock.
And I was thinking about Dave, too, because he definitely parties. You know, he talks about drinking a lot and stuff.
Sure.
And yet it's never been an issue for him. It's never gotten out of control. He just keeps everything where it should be, and
I don't know how they
really
do that.
It's really admirable.
I don't know how they do it either, but a lot of bands could take a page out of the Foo Fighters handbook there, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And we're watching him yesterday. If you don't know, we did breakfast with Foo Fighters yesterday at the Troubadour, and the place is the size of your living room, no matter where you live. And he's – not just he, the whole band, they're all great. They're rocking it like they're playing Staples Center.
Yeah.
Just giving it their all, and just really impressive.
During
the commercial breaks, they were signing stuff and saying hi to people, and yeah, it was pretty cool. We've been wanting to have them do a breakfast for a long time because we know they're like that.
Yeah,
right.
And not just Dave; Taylor's like that. And I didn't get a chance to ask Nate, their bass player.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he had massive, really bad headaches for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
It was threatening. You know, he couldn't really see himself playing for very much longer, and they drilled a hole in his head.
Cool.
They did that surgery where they drilled a hole in his head behind his ear.
Yeah.
To release the pressure? I don't know.
Is it still there?
The hole?
Yeah.
No, there's a scar there now.
Huh.
But headaches went away.
That's interesting.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So they just kind of, they took a drill. Okay, there you go. Pressure's out.
Sounds very 18th century, doesn't it?
What the hell?
I've seen that on some of the medical shows. I've seen them reenact that surgery and describe how that surgery works. That used to be the answer for a lot of things that were wrong with you. They say, all right, let's put a hole in your head. That'll help.
Pardon me, this is me. Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Gene Simmons.
Gene.
Yes.
Hi.
I've got some buildup of pressure. I think I might need to drill a hole in your head.
Come on. You can't start laughing in the middle of it.
Well, I chatted with Nate for a little bit. He's one of the quieter members of the band.
Yes,
I would say. But he lives in Portland, and we were wrapping it down for a while about that. But he seems like a cool guy. I talked to Chris a little bit too. Just a terrific group of guys. I didn't get a chance to talk to the great Pat Smear, who was there, the awesome guitarist Pat Smear, who I guess is augmenting the live show, was yesterday and will be out on the tour. Former member of Foo Fighters, but he was awesome. He was there too. They just a terrific band, and we have highlights coming up after 6. I know, but is the plan to put the whole breakfast up online as well?
I imagine. Yeah, we have the other ones up there, so yeah, we'll put it up online at kevinandbean@krock.com.
Great.
Sorry, let me say that again. At krock.com on the Kevin and Bean page.
Okay.
Also on today's Kevin and Bean show, we have John Lehrer from the show 10 Items or Less, which you may not have heard of, but
I haven't.
It's a show where they make stuff up on the fly. They ad lib, and there's no script.
Improv.
So they could pretty much do this without the writers. Boom, they're fine.
Nice.
Plus it's cable. Also on today's show, bad surprises in your relationships. Bad surprises. That's always. I don't know why bad surprises seems to work in every realm. Doesn't matter if it's New Year's Eve or Christmas or people getting engaged. Bad surprises just never.
Never good.
Never good. That's right. O.J. Simpson back in jail. I don't know if you heard that. Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
The King of Mexico has a book out. The No Game Game. Very exciting.
He's really coming into his own.
We have one of the L.A. Jedi Knights.
What?
Oh, fantastic.
This is the group of people who practice in a park once a month or week.
I don't know. We couldn't figure that
out. Once a week, I think. They get out there with their lightsabers and they practice fighting.
And they have, like, real instructors or something?
Nah, come on, seriously.
I mean,
how real can they be?
Is it like a book?
Yeah, whatever.
Technique?
Seriously.
But they wear outfits and they've got Star Wars names and the whole deal.
Wow.
Yeah, they check out of reality for an afternoon.
It is gizay. We're also going to talk to Anel, our token listener, about going to see First Sunday because he went.
Oh,
well. They come and they drain the melanin out of your skin if you don't go.
That's true.
You're required to by Negro law.
You get thrown into black jail if you don't go see movies like this. So.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk to him about that. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Hi, folks. This is Adam West. I want to introduce radio's own boy wonder, Ralph Garman, and the Show Business Report. Ralph.
Thank you, Adam.
Greatest voice in all of mankind.
It's like best human ever.
It's like God talking to you when you hear that voice.
It's no James Earl Jones.
Whatever with that.
Get me wrong.
Pussy.
How would Adam West sound doing the CNN bumpers?
You're listening to CNN.
See? Way better.
Way better.
Much more entertaining. No Britney, no kids. That's my new march. I'm going to get a sign and go upside down the courtroom. No Britney, no kids.
Is that what happened yesterday?
That's what happened. Yesterday was the court hearing to determine whether Britney would be allowed to even have visitation with her kids again. The only problem? The court didn't get a chance to talk to Ms. Spears.
She didn't show?
Well, she showed up 4 hours late for her court date, Kevin.
4 hours?
Yeah. The hearing went on without her. And ex-husband Kevin Federline, who showed up a half an hour early,
that hurts.
Seemed to get the benefit of the court's attention.
They
interviewed the fireman and the EMT who showed up when Britney barricaded herself inside her home on January 3rd. And after the hearing, Commissioner Gordon decided that Kevin gets to keep full custody of the boys while Britney receives no visitation rights.
Good.
Until at least February 19th when everyone heads back to court for yet another hearing.
Wow.
You know, most young mothers, that would be so devastating for them that they're not going to be able to see their children for 5 weeks. But do you think Britney cares?
No.
No, not probably if she's showing up 4 hours late.
Yeah.
She showed up 4 hours late, got out of the SUV in front of the courthouse, saw the paparazzi, freaked out, got back in the car and drove off. And she and her paparazzo boyfriend ended up going to some church.
What?
Yeah, and it's all very odd.
You think she was... Do you think she has any idea of time, or do you think that she thought that they'll just wait for her however long they need to, and if she shows up 4 hours late, that's when they'll do it?
I think she shows up on Britney time because she's used to everyone just acquiescing, and the court does not acquiesce.
But she should have learned that by now, wouldn't you think? How many times has she been in that
court?
Listen,
y'all. Some people are slow learners. Have you heard her talking in a British accent all the time now?
She's doing all the time. It's the most bizarre thing. Yes.
I love that.
Leave me alone. I'm fed up with this. She says to paparazzi.
Why don't you let Lisa do it? She has a bang up
Lisa's
accent.
Get away
coach.
From me.
Yes.
I'm disgusted with all of you.
There you go.
Meanwhile, by the way, Kevin Federline, who, you know, let's face it, is the other side of this battle. He shows up, like Ralph said, early. He's wearing a suit. He's groomed. He's respectful. He's there with attorneys that he has an ongoing relationship with, provides them with the information that they need. I mean, he's just, he couldn't be more of a, you know, more of a jewel in the court's eyes. Regardless of what you think of him outside the court,
and
he sure
Jewel,
knows how to play this.
By Jewel, he's just doing what he's supposed to.
Yeah, right. Which most, with both sides usually do.
If you just hit the minimum, you look like a champ compared to her.
Yeah.
That's right.
By the way, Kevin appears tonight on his first episode of One Tree Hill.
Oh, good.
He's got a 3-episode story on One Tree Hill, and tonight is his first appearance on that show as a guest star. Who'd ever thought that Kevin Federline would have a better career and be more... highly regarded than Britney Spears.
But only because Britney Spears took a nosedive into the depths of hell.
But I'm saying, did you ever think that would be the situation? Where his stock would be above hers?
No.
It's madness.
Yasmin and I are going to watch One Tree Hill in bed.
Yes, I'm going to watch it.
I love that show. It's
she loves
the
CW.
Me too.
Yes. I put my hand over her tattoo when I watch it, so I don't get distracted. Matthew McConaughey has some advice for us all.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Okay.
He does an interview in this month's Playboy magazine and says that two times a year he fasts to pull back, go back, and check on what he really needs.
Hmm?
Two times a year he does away with his cigarettes, okay, his BlackBerry, and sex. Just to get himself centered.
That's how he fasts?
Apparently, yeah.
It has nothing to do with food?
Yeah. Trust me, it's harder to give up cigarettes than it is food, Lisa.
Well, that's true.
And sex.
And your BlackBerry.
Yeah.
How long does it... you say a week?
He does it twice a year. It doesn't say for how long.
Probably okay. A week.
A few times a year.
One hour.
He gives up his favorite thing just to check on what he really needs and see how he's feeling.
Would you say he checks himself before he...
I think he would do
would
that.
You go that
yes,
far?
Yes, I think he abstains from wrecking himself via the path of checking himself. Yes, that's what I would say.
Don't you get the impression, Ralph, that he should be a much bigger movie star than he is?
Dude, he makes a ton of movies that make a ton of money. I mean, he's a pretty big movie star.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's a great actor.
Oh, I think you're right. I think he's a charming personality. I think he does Matthew McConaughey better than anybody else does him.
Absolutely. Sure.
But I don't think he's got a lot of range with the kind of roles he has. Yeah. But I think he knows that himself and sort of accepts that and has carved out quite a niche. He does sort of pseudo-action comedies and then romantic comedies. Yeah. That's his niche and does it better than anybody else. In terms of those romantic comedies, he makes a lot of really bad movies very watchable by being Matthew. Mm-hmm. He's got that one coming out, Fool's Gold. Or
I don't know what that is.
Fool's Treasure or...
Is that the Kate Hudson one?
Fool me twice, shame on you. I don't know.
Is that where they kidnapped the president? And
no,
then they...
no. This is him and Kate Hudson reuniting again for a romantic comedy about two treasure hunters trying to find some gold.
Seriously. Because that happens a lot.
Well, apparently that's the thing, is their relationship's in trouble and he stumbles across some sort of inside information that there's a shipwreck someplace. He's a diver. There's a shipwreck someplace and apparently it's got some money to be found and they go after it.
We fall in love?
I think they're already. I think they're a relationship on the rocks.
Oh, I see.
And they sort of reconnect because of pursuing this sunken.
Let us know how that one is.
Shipwreck thing.
And he gets to be shirtless, and she gets to be in a bikini.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. And they both get to be just cuter than puppies. But they are. Vivica A. Fox is denying rumors that there's a sex tape on the internet starring her and a dude from Detroit. She said, if I did have one, I would be making my own money off of it.
Well, then let's get to that.
But apparently there is not one.
Come on.
Vivica also told People magazine that she learned a really big lesson from her DUI last December. Hire a driver, she says. That is good advice for everyone who is rich and drunk.
Remind me, Ralph, later in the show we need to bring Beer Mug in, who apparently has just gotten pulled over for the 7th time in a year.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah. This morning. Got pulled over, right? Was it this morning?
Yeah.
Yes, he got pulled over this morning on his way into work, and he just completed his latest court, traffic school on Saturday.
This past Saturday, he just finished it. Now,
what is he doing?
Speeding. 90.
But not his fault. Not his fault.
He says it's the CHP's fault.
The CHP. So we're going to have to bring him in and have him explain that to us.
Wow. Sad news at the Adult Video News Awards this week.
Uh-oh.
You know, they just had them in Vegas on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Even without the writers?
Even without the writers, wow. Lisa, the show must go on.
Amazing.
They doled out awards, and the adult entertainment professionals got up on stage to accept.
Was there an upset in the best anal category? Is that what you're talking about?
No, sadder news than that. Excuse me. The queen of adult entertainment, Jenna Jameson, has announced her official retirement from porn. She will no longer performing on stage. She said she's had a rocky year, but she is done doing the deed on camera, so we will not see her kind again. R.I.P. Jenna Jameson.
Would break if you tried to do something to her at this point. She just looks fragile.
She is a little skinny.
Yeah.
She's got some skinny going on.
I think Tito Ortiz is just wearing her out. Got nothing left.
He's using her as a body bag?
Yeah.
And rapper DMX got some bad news Friday. I don't know if you missed it or not, but he was ordered to shell out $1.5 million to a lady named Monique Wayne.
Dude.
She sued him back in 2006 after DMX told Sister to Sister Magazine in a cover story that she raped him while he was asleep. Do you remember
this?
That's
right.
DMX claimed to be raped by this young lady.
That's right.
Well, Monique sued for defamation, false statements, and unreasonable publicity. I didn't even know that was something you could sue for.
Unreasonable publicity?
Yes. about her private life after DMX admitted that he made up the story in an effort to placate his wife at the time.
She raped me, he said.
I see. Okay.
See, the wife found out about the interaction, and apparently he was saying publicly she raped me in order to get off the hook with his wife.
I kept telling her to stop, but she just wouldn't.
Yeah.
I have DMX's statement if you'd like to hear a little bit of that.
I'd love to.
It's really unfair. It's my team. Yeah. It's my quarterback.
Right.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
Yeah.
We lost as a team, man.
It's unfair.
That's what he was saying, yeah.
This is the guy said about Jeff Garcia, his quarterback of the 49ers. Well, if it smells like a rat and looks like a rat, must be a rat regarding his alleged homosexuality. Just threw him under the bus about him being gay.
He's the last person
to be unfair.
To be a team member. He's the last person.
Have you seen Jeff Garcia's wife, by the way?
Oh, Carmella Caesar.
Yeah, way
hot.
You mean?
She was just voted hottest sports wife in America this year.
Yeah.
She's nuts.
Hard to argue with that.
She's a super
she's
hot,
nuts hot
beard.
She's not only hot. She's kind of like a little bonkers.
Yeah.
Makes her more hot.
Right.
Some stripper was kind of acting friendly with Jeff Garcia at a strip club while she was there.
Yeah.
And she grabbed the stripper pole and kicked her in the face.
Kicked her in the head.
Oh, double, like action star double kick to the face with high heels on.
Oh, nice. My God.
Yeah. Totally Chuck Norris'd him.
Mike, the Cowboys play Saturday or Sunday? I didn't get the schedule.
Oh, no, what you did.
Very funny, Pete.
Oh, no, you did. Did you guys see American Gladiators last night?
No.
Oh, no.
So good. Of course not.
Giant Q-tip?
So good. You know what? I'm going to get a couple of those giant Q-tips.
Did they
and you and I are going to go in the parking
did
lot.
Did they fight with a giant
and play
Q-tip?
Play a little joust.
Did they or did
Let's
they not?
Play a little joust.
Did they or did they not?
Then you can see the giant Q-tip, how soft and cushy it is at the end.
Please.
Giant Q-tip. Did they fight with it?
They did have joust last night, yes, amongst other spectacular
tennis
events.
Ball cannon? Did they have that?
Yeah. Right. You ever get hit with a tennis ball 100 miles an hour?
No.
Stings.
Yes. I imagine it does.
I imagine it does, too. Anyway, did great numbers. 40 million viewers, by the way.
Oh!
On its premiere. Doing pretty good for NBC.
40 million?
Yeah. There's nothing on TV.
Wow.
Speaking of other shows that are doing well, as Lisa mentions, thanks to the writer's strike. Terminator, of course.
Yeah.
It's first new
good.
Television.
You liked it, right?
Yeah, I liked
I thought it.
It
was
real good.
Good.
The second half of the premiere was last night. About 18 million viewers tuned in for the pilot episode of that. So that's
Why?
Doing very well. It's a long way from the American Gladiators debut, but it's comparable to Lost in its heyday, they say.
Wow.
So it's
pretty
big for Terminator. Speaking of new shows, American Idol returns tonight.
Yes.
With the horrible auditions.
The only part I liked.
Philadelphia tonight, by the way. That should be spectacular.
Be really bad.
Philadelphia.
How dare you, sir? And as you guys mentioned, 10 items or less. TV series with TBS, the improvisational comedy show debuts its second season tonight over there on TBS. Have you guys chance to see any episodes of that?
No.
Have you watched? You can watch them online. If you go to TBS.com, you can watch full episodes online. Really, really funny show. When you think about it, especially that they are making up all the dialogue as they go along, which is, when
That's
you watch
skill.
The show, it looks polished and written. It's hard to believe that they really do that.
I'm just shocked that there's a half hour on TBS that they're not airing Family Guy reruns. I didn't know that they aired anything else
hey,
but that.
Hey, back off, man. Back the F off the Family Guy reruns. They can
Believe
rerun
me.
Those as much as they like, my friend.
And they
I
do.
Love it.
And
I watched two of them last night.
Do
I'm, in,
more.
I'm in.
Rerun
I'm
it just, more is what I'm saying.
I'm just saying that's the channel I go to if I ever have a Family Guy need.
Just
at,
saying,
you know,
I don't take food out of
night.
Your family's mouth. Why don't you shut the F up is what I'm saying.
See, Ralph does voices on that show, so he gets paid
sure.
when they replay.
Get a little resid right there. A little residdy.
Residdy?
Residdy scent. That's what they call me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. It's a, I'm sorry, in advance. Chad Lowe used to be married to Hilary Swank.
Yep.
Yes.
He's 40 years old today.
Okay.
The actor's best known for not being thanked by his wife when she got her Oscar. That's what he's best known
for.
Oh,
sure.
It's kind of sad. Lisa of the Cult Jam.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's 41. Mario Van Peebles.
That's the best
oh my
you got
God.
From New Jack City. He's a 51.
Hope you're saving the best for last.
I am.
Okay.
Charo.
Charo, singer-dancer Charo, celebrates her 57th birthday.
Oh, 57. She was 57 when I was a kid.
She was 57 when she was guesting on The Love Boat. How did she get her age legally changed? That's what I want to know.
57.
57.
97.
Coochie-coochie my ass. I read that once.
Coochie, is that right?
Coochie-coochie my ass.
That's a good one.
Very entertaining. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. When I talk about
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
So this is one of the last times we'll ever be able to call it the Foobador. That's basically what you're telling me.
We've been trying for a long time to get a breakfast with this next band. Very excited to introduce the Foo Fighters!
Keep you in the dark and so it all begins. Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you?
Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
Thank you.
Live from the Troubadour.
Your band has a very liberal facial hair policy.
Facial hair?
Yeah, seems like your big fans are keeping it alive.
Well, you know, I think it's important for everybody to have an image,
first
okay.
of all.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about beards is that they hide your face. And I think that the more we hide our face, the more records we sell.
That works to your advantage.
I see.
So beards equal money to me.
Okay.
And, so I encourage everyone to have a beard.
All right. We'll
make more money that way.
Including Petra?
No. That's against the rules.
We've learned a little something here today. All right. Producer Lightning, I believe, is in the crowd somewhere. Lightning, where are you, my man?
I am right over here at the spotlight.
All right. Now, before we hear the first question, Dave, as you know, the Breakfast with Foo Fighters is mostly Foo Fighters fans, hardcore Foo Fighters fans. And I'm telling you, the begging and the pleading we've endured for the last 2 weeks for people to be here has been unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean,
sorry about that.
You have cultivated some hardcore fans, is what I'm telling you.
And well, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces. Whenever we play gigs, you can usually see the people that you've seen before.
Right.
And it's been a long time. Like, a lot of... The thing now is that people that come to shows, some have been coming for 10 or 12 years, and then other kids are just coming in the last, you know, couple of years. And
brand new.
So you've got mustaches.
Yes.
And then you've got kids with their first mustache.
Right.
Let's make you proud.
The pre-shave.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, the soft little...
So anyway, maybe you'll recognize some of the people stepping up to the microphone here today, but Producer Lightning is out with our first question from the audience, Breakfast with Foo Fighters on K-Rock.
Well, you know what? I've got Erica. Not only does she have the zip-up hoodie right here with the Foo Fighters on it, but also look at the back of her neck. Turn around, Erica.
Oh, you didn't do that, did you?
Yeah.
Crazy, girl. Look at that.
The double F right
that
there on the back.
That doesn't go
of the
away, you know.
No, that one, that doesn't sticks. Go away.
But Dave, let me tell you the ripoff. Is she called us and goes, guys, I got double Fs. And we're like, yeah.
Woo!
Come on in. Then we found out it's a stupid.
Wasn't that a couple weeks ago, that contest?
Yeah, right.
No, I just checked it out online.
Then we found out it's a stupid tattoo. But anyway.
You also have a question for him, correct?
Huh?
I just wanted to know, Best of You really helped me get through a really hard time in my life. What inspired you to write that song, and how has it affected your life?
Well, I wrote that song after going out on the road with John Kerry for a while. And I don't want to get political, but that really inspired me because what I was doing is I was going in, I was going with his touring sort of motorcade where we'd go from one little town to the next, and he would make these presentations, these speeches. And I would stand up and play songs like My Hero and Times Like These, and nobody knew who I was. Like, it was all World War II vets. I swear, I'm serious. School teachers, and nobody gave a squat about who I was. But then I'd go up there and just talk about, you know, whatever, being an American and touring the world and what it is to be an American these days. And after doing that, it really inspired me to write that song because I felt like, you know, there were all of these people that needed to be rescued from all the different situations and problems that they had in their lives, and a lot of them felt like they were being taken advantage of. And so I wrote that song out of that. And still to this day, I get choked up sometimes when I sing it. So, just because it's, you know, it means a lot to me.
Way to pick a winner, too, by the way, Dave.
In that...
thanks, about, yeah.
In that campaign...
I think I'm going to endorse Huckabee this time. Just to make sure that, you know...
In that campaign, though, didn't...
Make sure you won't win.
Didn't President Bush use your song, Times Like These? Wasn't he starting
apparently
to play that?
He was used... I don't know, whatever. That's how out of touch that dude is.
That's got to be weird.
He's a hot new rock man. Cool.
He doesn't have to get your okay, though, to use it on the... On his commercials and stuff?
Ask the lawyer. I don't know.
All right, great question. Thank you very much for that. Lightning, who's next, please?
Heath out in the crowd right here. And also, Heath, show him your middle finger here. Another double
you got
F
one
right
too?
Here.
Is
right
this
there.
A convention? You crazy.
We got Heath. What's your question?
Don't follow me home.
First, thank you guys for making such amazing music for so many years. You inspired her and so many other people, so thank you for that.
Welcome.
But my question is
thanks,
for...
Heath.
Speaking of both of you, this question is for both of you. If you guys could play drums for any classic rock band in their heyday, any band, anywhere, anytime, what band would it be?
Right Said Fred.
Hawkins.
ABBA.
ABBA.
Now, how about if I answer yours and you answer mine?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to answer for Dave, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Got to be.
And I'll answer for Taylor. It's kind of a I got to say the police.
Yeah.
It's got to be, yeah.
Taylor's the police guy.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Led Zeppelin, since the last time we talked to you, Dave,
You went to the freaking Led Zeppelin concert.
I did. I went to go see him play.
Tell me it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. It was really weird because a couple of us went and we left. It was on a Monday, so we left Sunday afternoon. We got in Monday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning to London. Went to the hotel, took a nap for 3 hours, woke up, took a shower, started drinking, got the van down to the gig, drank, hung out for a little bit, and then all of a sudden the lights went out and Led Zeppelin started playing.
Now, for folks who don't pay attention, this is a band that hasn't performed together but a couple of times in 30 years. I mean, this
was a long time.
This was a big, big deal.
It was a huge
deal. And they're your favorite band, so.
And right, and tattoos and the whole deal. It was at the O2 Arena in London, and that place holds 18,000 people, and I guess like 28 million people tried to get tickets.
Excellent.
So when we got in there, everybody that was in the gig, it was like they won the lottery, you know? So the vibe inside the venue was insane. Everyone was just like, we're going to see Led Zeppelin. We're going to see Led Zeppelin. They were so excited. And it was, I mean, I never got to see him play back in the day. So I've watched all the movies and the bootlegs and every album front to back. And so to actually see them there and be kind of drunk, it was surreal. It was bizarre. And they were amazing. And the set they played
nailed
for
it,
over
right?
2 hours is incredible.
Dave, he was in our studio just before that, and he said, I never do this, but I called up and I said, hey, remember Nirvana?
Yeah. I need some tickets.
Remember that? You said, I never do that, but for that one, I did.
Well, you don't want to use the N-word too much.
No, I don't know. All right, but let me ask you one more thing on that, Dave, because you're sitting there going, I could do that. I mean, did you wish it were you up on that stage playing drums on those songs?
That's just the same as Taylor. I'm sure when Taylor watches The Police, there's that part of you. When I was a kid, and I bet you're the same way, you'd go to see a band, and it would be your favorite band, and you had this weird, perverted fantasy that maybe something would happen to the drummer,
sure.
And that the singer would come up and be like, hey, does anybody know every single one of our songs? And so there was that. Jason Bonham is Jason Bonham.
He was great.
John Bonham, the drummer of Led Zeppelin, died, so Jason Bonham, his son, played, and he's amazing. Yeah. And he plays like his father. And beyond that, he's a great drummer. It was awesome.
It's cool.
But it was funny because afterwards, I went upstairs to this after party. It was me and Chad from the Chili Peppers and Steve Gorman from the Black Crowes sitting around drinking like, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
It's cool that you guys can still be such big fans and are not just completely turned off to the music business. You know what I mean? Because there's a difference between the music and the music business.
Well, but it's all music, Great bands are great bands.
That's awesome. More from the audience here at the Troubadour, but I think we got to take a break, right? Take
yes.
a quick break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more from Foo Fighters on stage. It's Breakfast with the Foos on the world-famous...
Try something new for breakfast.
It's Kevin and Dean's Breakfast with the Foo Fighters.
World-famous K-Rock.
All right, I can only say it a couple more times. We're live from the Foubadour on Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood. Breakfast with Foo Fighters is happening this morning on the world-famous K-Rock. We got a few more questions from the audience. Lightning is out there. But before we get to that, Dave, I wanted to ask you a follow-up on something you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
You talked about how you had the beautiful Hawaiian vacation. You wrote all sorts of songs. You seem like a prolific kind of guy. But you can only put out so many records. What do you save all those songs, or do you trash them? Or are they going to see the light of day one day, or what do you think?
Well, usually when we go in to make a record, we have a lot of stuff left over. Because, you know, you might walk into the studio with 40 ideas and think, man, this is a triple record. They're all awesome. And this is going to change the course of rock history. And then you go in there and 35 of them suck. And so then you keep writing. But there's a lot of leftovers. But, I mean, honestly, like, we'll make a record and then we'll travel for like a year and a half. And in that time, we'll write.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come off the road and there's not a lot of... We usually don't take big, long breaks. Like, there's some bands that go away for 2 or 3 years at a time.
Right.
And we might have a month or two between touring and starting the next record, but it's not a lot of time.
Slave driver, dude.
Iron Fist. You do crack the whip. Yeah, everybody do what I tell you now.
A lot of artists get frustrated with the slow pace of how you can release records, and more of them are just saying, hey, I wrote this song today. I'm going to put it up on my website because I want it out there. You know what I mean?
Well, nowadays, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know?
It's true.
But we're lucky because, you know, the way we work, we have our own studio, and the people at Sony BMG are so cool to us. The RCA people are so totally cool that they just let us do whatever we want to do. And so if we say, hey, we're going to make a record, they say, okay. And then we make it, and then they come in and listen to it and go, ah, it sounds like a good record.
I could do that.
know?
You do make it sound easy. Interesting.
All right.
Producer Lightning in the crowd here at the Troubadour with our another listener. What's the story? What's the person?
We've got Serena right here, and she's been on the air kind of, sort of. Tell your story.
I called in a couple months ago to speak with you and Taylor when it was Stump the Foos. And,
Did you stump us?
No, I was on hold, had an anxiety attack when Psycho Mike came and said I was next. You were coming to the phone, and I hung up because I... Whoa.
She hung up. She couldn't take it.
Did you take your soul off today? Are you cool? You got it together?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, good. I'm trying.
Serena,
a lot of people watching right now.
Oh, come on. Don't put the pressure on her.
Yeah, come on.
Serena, did you have a question you've always wanted to ask the Foos?
I do. My absolute favorite all-time song that you sing is Everlong. I think it is a completely sexy song when you say breathe in so I can breathe out.
I stole that from Def Leppard, by the way.
I'm just curious as to if you wrote that for somebody. And
what was it
means,
you?
And yeah, and what it means to you.
I wrote it to myself.
That's lovely.
Because I've never met anyone like me.
Nice.
And I know I never will. And I'm deeply in love.
With?
Me.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
The end.
Dave, we have a... There's people in this room who walk down the aisle to that song. I mean, that's making an imprint on somebody's life right there when you're their wedding song.
That's a weird thing.
We had a winner that called us up that all of the music at their wedding was Foo Fighters. All of it.
Really?
Walk down the aisle.
Was that you? That was you?
Walk down the aisle. Every single song, Foo Fighter.
How bummed was your family?
She said, cool? She told us they were Mexican and confused, is what she said.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the question. We appreciate it. Who's next, Mike?
We've got Thor right here.
Thor
yeah. What's up, Thor?
Look at Thor.
Go along with the whole facial hair thing. I grew the food just for you, brother.
Thank Dude, are you an American Gladiators tonight? Because you should be.
That's me.
Okay, good.
That's like that look.
That's a Fu Manchu right there.
The Viking helmet and the boat. Sorry.
What's your question?
So, are you able to play your own song on Guitar Hero on expert mode?
Oh,
good question.
Throwing down.
No, he didn't.
No.
Step up.
What about you, Thor? That was
go
my
on
question.
Like Thor 1973.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Garage Band.
No, well, I've tried...
The whole band together?
Well, you know, Guitar Hero, we had that at the studio when we were making the last record. And
how do you get anything done?
Well, it was Nate who played it mostly, our bass player, Nate. And he was awesome. He got really, really good at it. So that when it came time for him to do his bass lines, he was like...
A good rehearsal?
Play a note, man. No, that game's weird. Because you'd think that it would be like playing guitar. But in reality, it's absolutely nothing like playing guitar. And it's a problem because you're just looking at those little colored things coming down the deal and hitting the line. So then when you go to bed at night, it's just... It's one of those things where you're looking at that thing coming down for so long that you turn off the game and your head is just going... So it's a little weird.
It's a different set of skills, right? Between really playing... Yeah, that's
what I guess. I suck at guitar anyway, so I don't know what Guitar Hero would be.
Yeah, right. All right, another light.
We've got Brian from the LBC.
What's up, my ninja?
Hi.
LBC. After your Oscar-worthy performance in Pick of Destiny as Satan, do you have any more plans to act?
No. Because...
How do you follow up Satan?
I gotta tell you, there's a part of me that... I don't know. I don't really think so. No. And I never really wanted to. I sort of kind of wanted to, but only if I could be in, like, Lord of the Rings as an orc or whatever. And then I got the call from Tenacious D to be the devil... I was like, yeah, I'll do that. That's not too much of a stretch.
Hey, you were acting in the video for Long Road to Ruin. Come on.
Well, videos are kind
of... You're sobbing. A lot of emotion there.
Thespian, dude. I'm just another thespian.
I know.
I came to Hollywood to make it as an actor, and all I got was this crappy band.
Hey, before we hear the last number, during the commercials there, the audience here at the Troubadour was hearing you do a little Tom Petty on the stage.
Oh, man.
Thanks to Taylor for kicking into that.
Tom Petty.
Do you guys do any covers out on the road when you do your full-length rock show?
Yeah, we do some.
Because I know you've recorded a few great ones over the years. But
we usually record them for B-sides, you know?
Right.
Because after you're done making a record, then people say, okay, we need 12 B-sides. You're like, we don't have any songs. So each of us picks a cover. And
who
we've
picked
done...
Darling Nikki? Who picked that one?
Me.
Who picked Baker Street?
Me. Taylor.
Do they ever
what
really
were some
pick?
Of yours, T? You did a...
Did you do the Pink
Floyd? Joe Walsh.
couple Joe Walsh and the Pink Floyd song.
Chris, you pick. What did you pick? A Ramones and Jawbreaker.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Nate, are you allowed to pick?
No, Nate.
Yeah, Nate got beat. He got vetoed. What was his? It was like a Talking Heads or something like that.
None of us knew. Yeah.
The bass player doesn't get the love. I'll tell you is what's happening here. All right, let's hear it for Foo Fighters. One more song, live from the Troubadour.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got the chains to break, holding you. Were you born to resist? Won't be abused. Will someone get in the best? The best, the best, the best to you. Will someone get in the best? The best, the best, the best to you. Are you gone? No, I'm just someone new. I needed somewhere to hang. Someone taking your back.
You've been listening to some highlights of our Breakfast with Foo Fighters yesterday. They were fantastic. And it's going to be up at krock.com today if you'd like to hear the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing. The whole thing minus the entire first break where we had a
complete
mental breakdown of all people involved in the broadcast.
We seem to be getting the station back to us.
We were skipping all of a sudden like a CD.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Didn't understand that.
Guys, we can get the big guests if we want. We can pretend to be a real radio station, but we're still just K-Rock. There's nothing we can do about that. I want to tell you about a little film called First Sunday. It was number two at the box office this weekend, made almost $18 million. Here's just a brief sampling of some of the reviews of Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan's latest. One goes, it's not as if First Sunday sets out to be awful. It simply is. Another says, the comedy about a botched robbery and hostage-taking is so bad that even the Cube's most ardent fans are going to feel like they're the real victims. And a third, comedies don't have to be high in class as long as they're funny, entertaining, and do not treat their audiences like imbeciles. First Sunday fails on all three of these qualifications. Yet, big box office, and I think Ralph asked a very legitimate question yesterday, which is, what's up with the blacks? Why do they have to go see a movie just because there's a black guy in it? How does this movie get $17.7 million? And we thought there's only one person that makes sense to go to for that answer, and that's our token black listener, Anel, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Anel.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Hi, Anel.
And to you as well. Ralph was talking about your movie yesterday, and then I instantly got an email from Anel talking about how he, because he didn't want to be kicked out of the African-American race, went to see First Sunday over the week.
Really? You saw it, Anel?
Yeah, man. Look, I was taken hostage, man, by the black action militia, man. It was an ugly scene, man.
Because Anel is, we've met Anel many times. He's a very smart guy. It doesn't seem like this comedy would appeal to you.
And here's my point is that I don't mind black people going to see movies with black actors. It makes sense that they might want to see themselves reflected up on the screen, but why go see black movies that are bad? Even if you're black, it seems like a bad idea.
This was almost as bad as Soul Plane.
Dude, Soul Plane may have been the worst ever. There's no way this was that bad.
All right, let me back up one second. Now, did you think, based on Ice Cube, who has done good work in the past, Tracy Morgan, obviously, is very, very funny on Thirty Rock. Had you heard good things about the movie, or had you heard nothing about the movie and just assumed it would be good, or what was the deal there?
You know, I guess on an individual respective basis, Ice Cube makes relatively decent movies. Tracy Morgan is hilarious on 30 Rock. And, you know, and I like Cat Williams, but they just didn't gel, man.
Really?
It just seemed really contrived. It was bad.
But you could see that coming a mile away, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you going to... Look, man, I did not want to go see the movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Bucket List is going to get my $8 this weekend. You know what I mean? I'd rather go see Morgan and Jack than these clowns.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was about 10 o'clock, man, on a Sunday night. On a Sunday, no less, man. I was taken hostage and dragged down to the Magic Johnson Theater, man, and I was forced to sit through 2 hours of commentary by my local moviegoers and whatnot.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, I will say this.
So you were drunk is what you're telling us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But answer the bigger question, Anel.
Yes, sir.
Which is when a movie has mostly black actors in it, they usually do pretty well, regardless of the quality of the movie.
Right.
What is that about?
Well, I mean, you got to realize, man, we are going to support our own. I mean, God, come on, man. We get about, what, man, 3-4 black movies a year. Y'all give us 28 days for History Month. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So we take what we can get. You know what I mean? We went out there. We go support our own. We go see the movie. And, I mean, to do the numbers it did, considering the fact that, you know, the bootleg market could have killed this movie. You know what I mean? I saw copies of it a week before it came out. So,
sure.
You know what I mean? You
just... Well, and I'd like to point out, Kevin is seeing crappier movies than this with high expectations regardless.
But Kevin is hardly the norm. We don't use him as our barometer of movie going.
It is kind of funny when she says Mordecai. I mean, that's kind of funny.
Sports are funny, you know, funny things. But see, the problem that I just found is that the whole plot line was just ridiculous. I mean, who the hell is going to rob a church?
Really?
A black church on top of that. I mean, everybody packing. You know what I mean?
How much money could be there, right?
Oh. That's a bad scenario. You know what I mean? You know, I'd get out of church as quick as I can, man. You know what I mean?
Anel, here's what happened behind the scenes at K-Rock. We were offered Ice Cube, who we love to talk to because we love him.
Right.
And we said, what project? And they said, First Sunday. And we said, I think we'll pass this time.
Yeah. Away from Doughboy, man.
So we turned down Ice Cube because...
Well, he started with those Are We There Yet movies with his family going into the woods with chipmunks and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, man, I guess, the rule of Hollywood, man, is, you know, when you become a successful black director, if you want to keep making movies, you eventually got to make a couple that, you know, are going to kowtow to your less harsh audiences. Notice you haven't seen a Spike Lee movie in quite some time, and I'm not counting that Inside Man because that was garbage. But you know what I mean? I mean, you know, the Do the Right Things and, the Boys in the Hoods and the Men
right.
of Societies. You're not going to see those as often because, you know, they don't do
right,
all that
well. Right, but did you go to First Sunday expecting it to be one of those?
Well, no, I mean, you know, come on, man. You got Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan. I mean, I wouldn't expect anybody to get shot in the face. But, I mean, the whole, you know, point
that
premise is that it was just a bad movie. I mean, you could have put anybody in this movie, man. You know what I mean? You could have put Robert De Niro in this movie with, you know, with Denzel Washington, man, and it would have been terrible. I mean, it was just a bad script.
But here's the thing. If it was Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal going to do a bank robbery at a church, I would stay away, regardless of the fact that they're white. I'm not going to go just to support, you know, even an actor that I like Robert De Niro.
But we have so many more choices.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know any simpler way to put it. You take a bad script, you know what I'm saying? You put decent actors in it, and it's usually going to be a bad movie.
Right. But if black people wanted to see, if black people only went to see better black films, then wouldn't you get just naturally a better caliber of black film? Because they would start to make, you know, they would have to be compelled to try to make them as good as possible to get the black audience in.
Yeah, but you got to understand, man. You know, black people, we're a very, very social culture, man. So, you know, you can almost kind of go just so you can say that you went to see it, so that when everybody's talking about
there it,
it's water cooler, you don't get left out.
But that's what gives us Tyler Perry, man.
I mean, well, you know, what am I going to do?
It's that kind of mentality.
Hey, man, Tyler Perry's the head of Starfleet, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Dave is getting laid. What's the world is upside down right
now, I know.
Now,
it's
man.
A bizarre world.
The terrorists have won. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to throw this at you guys and see how it sticks here. But just thinking, maybe want to rename the Martin Luther King Jr. song? Just thinking. Martin Luther King Jr. spooks.
What are
you?
Come on, no.
You know better than that. Come on.
Come on.
I thought it was quite hilarious, you know, outside my window, the gunshot and everything. But, you know, I'm just saying, maybe it could be misconstrued.
Oh, we've lost a nail. How dare you?
Hey, listen, could we call it Martin Luther King Negroes outside my window?
Well, I'd rather not.
No,
to be honest.
It's not about spooks. It's
what time do you need to be at the Al Sharpton rally today, Anel? We'll let you go. Come on.
In the house party first thing in the morning, man.
Well, you got a lot of work to do then, Anel.
Y'all are my favorite white people right behind Michael Jackson, I swear to God.
Oh, that's sweet.
Thank you.
Listen, Anel, two things, because then we got to go. One, stop it with going to the bad black movies. Number one, stop it, okay?
I will.
Number two is, I'm glad you brought up the Martin Luther King spooks, because we did world premiere that this morning. Today is Dr. King's birthday. The holiday is coming up on Monday. I think we may need to play that again for people next hour who have not heard it.
Sorry, I think everyone's heard it, and it's, you know, it's done its job.
Look, I'm just going on record as saying, I like the song.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think the song is an excellent song.
All right.
I just think the title may need a little reworking. That's
okay,
all.
As far as
I know, the word spooks isn't even used in the song.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, but I'm telling you, you know, in these racially insensitive times, you know what I'm saying? You know, you may get a little bit of flack, man, you know, from certain individuals who are not quite as tolerant as myself.
Well,
progressive.
That's because Bean keeps saying the word and hates black people. That's what the problem is.
I don't dare
think
you.
That's it at
how
all.
How dare
really.
You?
I mean, look, if you called me a spook, I would laugh at you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying.
We can't
but
find
would the black action militia laugh at us, though.
Look, the black action militia is not going to find that funny at all. They won't hurt my black ass, but not going to see the movie. So what's the thing going to do to y'all?
And when all they right. kidnap you and take you to the movies, they put a gun to your head and make you yell at the screen?
It was almost as bad, man. They sat me down, man. Toothpicks under the eyes, man. You know, bamboo shoots under the fingernails.
Wow.
Nine, man. It was rough.
That's right. Just for the record, we will play this song again coming up, but we're not calling anybody a spook. I just want to make sure that's very clear.
It means spooky, Anel. It's talking about spooky.
Man.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, you know, say be proactive.
You're trying to help a brother out.
I'm trying to help a brother. I'm trying to help my favorite brothers out.
I got
you. Know what I'm saying? Y'all
okay.
Get to your boy.
All right. Well, you're going to be the first witness for the defense when that thing comes to trial.
Well,
all right, Anel.
I'm on the side.
Say hi to the family. Thanks
we'll
for coming on with us.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
No other book has more complete ads and up-to-date listings. You can always count on the one and only Los Angeles AT&T Real Yellow Pages coming to your doorstep soon. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
People still use those gigantic 10-pound Yellow Pages books instead
of
the internet?
Yes, they do. I have them.
Really?
Yep.
Absolutely. How can you keep your door open if you don't have a doorstop?
Good point.
That's what you need.
Seems like you can use the internet for that.
No.
But I guess not.
Internet's a fad.
3 minutes till 7, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Yellow Pages are forever.
Okay.
Anybody see Tom Cruise's robo-wife on Letterman last night?
No.
I did not. She is a beautiful, charming young lady, but boy, has she swallowed the Kool-Aid.
Really? Katie Holmes is all about the
Katie Holmes is all about, not about Scientology, but just paints the rosiest picture that you could ever imagine.
No, it's never been more in love.
I've never watched. She turned to me and she goes, is anything hard for her?
Yeah.
Everything's easy. Running the New York Marathon. Her kid's not two yet, but she speaks three languages and is glorious.
Shut up.
And is so creative and magical. And Tom makes me feel special every day, and it's just, it's a magical, wonderful world she lives in.
Wow.
I thought the exact same thing. Every time I see her on the red carpet now, and I guess she's got that new Queen Latifah movie coming out, she sounds exactly like her husband. Everything is extraordinary and exceptional and magical and wonderful. It's just bizarre.
She says her little daughter knows how to work the paparazzi.
Her two-year-old.
Yes. Knows what's going on, knows how to behave in those situations.
Is that part of the dogma of Scientology, Ralph, is that you have to put you're supposed to be super positive about everything? Is that what they teach?
Yes. It was funny, too, because she was so using the Scientology communication skills on Letterman last night.
What do you mean?
She would ask her a question. She would go, so how are your holidays? She would, like, focus everything and turn it back on him and deflect
what
a lot
your
of
crimes?
Interesting questions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're taught to do.
But Dave, of course, being the ultimate gentleman, and it was always the case with him whenever he has on a guest, usually, unless it's like Paris Hilton or somebody, stayed clear of all the controversy and stuff, didn't talk about the new biography or any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it was a very polite interview, but I was just stunned at how just sort of Stepford she is. She's just sort of...
That's too bad.
She looked dynamite. She had the short dress on. She's got legs for days because I think she's like 7'2", I think.
She's 7'2". She's as tall as Shaq.
Yeah. And she looked great, but it was just a little disconcerting. She sort of has that disconnect, that distant...
That's not good.
The Marines call it the 500-yard stare or whatever it is. It's just it's a little disconcerting.
By the way, that Tom Cruise book comes out today, I think.
Yeah, I think it does, too.
Yeah.
So if you
remember back when Katie Holmes was just little Joey on Dawson's Creek and she was in Dave's crosshairs, that was going to be his girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was talking about that. She said she'd been coming on the show for years since she was a little kid, basically. She was 18 years old, I guess, when she started Dawson's.
Wow.
Wild stuff. Weird, wild stuff. Yeah. Tyra Banks has a new boyfriend.
Really? The loneliest woman in the world
She's
has
lonely,
a boyfriend?
lonely.
How'd she bag
someone? Not so more. Apparently, she has a 50-year-old boyfriend. His name is John Udendahl, and he is an investment banker.
Hmm. See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
I wonder if...
Tyra Banks really blows! Tyra Banks really blows! Blows!
Because how else would she get him? You know?
I agree.
How does she get a man? You imagine living with her?
I'm guessing
it's just
deaf.
A vagina.
It's got to be deaf, right?
Let me tell you how to pee, honey. Shut up!
Tyra, when you want to go vanilla?
It's got to be deaf. It's got to be. Have you heard about the big Hillary Duff controversy?
No.
Some people accusing Hillary of lip-syncing at a recent concert in Mexico over the weekend.
That's a...
say it ain't so.
Surprise to anyone?
Well, it's all rumor, actually. It's a misconception, according to People magazine. What actually happened was that her sound guys gave her a microphone that was switched off.
Right.
And when she was bent over singing, she was trying to look around, finding out why her mic wasn't working, and no one heard any sound, so they thought maybe the track that she was lip-syncing to went dead, and that's why no one could hear her. But in reality, it was a problem with the sound.
Just an off microphone.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what you get when you work with Mexicans.
What?
That's what I'm just saying.
What are you talking about?
It wouldn't have happened in Ohio.
What happened right here in Hollywood yesterday.
Happened to us yesterday.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And who do you work with?
Dave.
Who was there?
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Working with his little fingerless glove fingers in everybody's business.
That's
what I'm saying.
You're right.
Screw stuff up, man. Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
She's got a new boyfriend, too.
Nobel.
Arpad Bhusan.
Wait a minute. No bell for Uma?
No bell for Uma?
No bell for
hit
Uma.
The bell, guys.
No.
No, Mike's saying no bell.
He's objecting.
He's objecting to your bell.
Oh, no bell.
Mike's wrong.
How do you give no bell to Uma?
Considering Bean rings it 5 to 10 times for super hot chicks, she's got to deserve just a bell.
Come on.
Uma's very attractive. Mike, what's your problem with her? She's tall and
killer
she's got
body.
A great athletic body, yeah.
There are times, though, that she takes bad pictures. Like, they're bad angles.
That's true. Everybody does.
With her.
Everybody does.
What's your complaint, Mike?
I got to say, boobs hit navel is number one complaint.
I saw boobs hit navel over the weekend.
And
they were good.
She's tall and athletic, but it's also kind of like gawky. It's almost Bean-esque.
She is
gawky.
Yeah,
you're right.
She's unusual.
Like, she's the female Bean.
How is she again, Mike?
Hey, look at me. I'm 8 feet tall.
I'm sorry.
She's a Tyrannosaurus Rex,
she's
the way he was doing it.
You need to read a little Kill Bill before you start making judgment calls like that, dude.
Yeah.
Or a little Unbearable Lightness of Being.
What's that?
It's a movie.
I don't know that one.
Anyway, she was with her boyfriend in New York City, according to the New York Daily News, and the two were at lunch just going at it. Very into the PDA, these two. Making out at the table with what they're calling special touches under the table.
Oh!
Well, now. With the pole.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
Well, now.
Suck it.
Wow. A bystander said they were so over the top, he thought they might have been putting on a show for some reason.
All right.
Apparently, the two very much physically attracted to each other is what I'm trying to get at.
Fantastic. Why?
Fergie may be pregnant. Apparently, she and boyfriend Josh Duhamel are due to get married very soon, and the New York Daily News claims that it may be because she's got a bun in the oven. While at a party celebrating the 100th episode of the show at Las Vegas, the mayor of that same city, Oscar Goodman, our good pal Oscar, gave the handsome actor Josh Duhamel a pair of tiny Croc sandals for his future baby with Fergie. He may have outed the whole situation. Oh. Oscar may have had a few martinis before the event and outed the couple.
Are you saying Fergie might have an extra hump?
What you gonna do with all that junk?
What?
All that junk inside your trunk.
Come on.
I'ma get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump.
Her bump, her bump. Her lovely baby bump.
My hump, my hump, my hump.
What about that? Someone takes bad pictures occasionally, by the way. Fergie's another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does too.
Sometimes she looks great, and then sometimes, whoa!
Yeah.
They need to be more consistent like us. Bad picture after bad picture after bad picture.
Word. And Eva Longoria is standing up for her friend Jessica Simpson, two are very close friends.
Oh, great.
Jessica's under a considerable amount of fire in Texas because people are saying she's ruined Tony Romo for the Dallas Cowboys.
I hope so.
She was present during his horrible performance against the Eagles. Oh. And also, he was in Mexico vacationing with her and her family rather than maybe looking at tape or practicing before their big playoff game.
Yeah.
Well, Eva Longoria says that when she started dating her husband, Tony Parker, she also got a bunch of flack for every problem her boyfriend had on the floor and said, soon the whole thing will blow over and no one will blame her any longer. Okay. They are calling her Yoko Romo.
I like it.
If that means anything.
Yoko Romo.
Hey, does Andrew Bynum have a girlfriend we should be blaming right now for him getting hurt?
I don't think so.
No. Way to bring that up, man. Although they did win in overtime yesterday.
Yeah, against Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Against Seattle. How about that?
Kobe had 48. It shouldn't take overtime to beat the Sonics, the worst team in the NBA, by the way.
Kobe had over 40 points for the 87th time in his career.
And they still went into overtime. That's the Lakers in a nutshell.
I'm just toying with them.
Your boy scores 40.
Lakers are doing well.
Still struggle to get the win.
Listen, it was their first game back without Bynum. They had no idea. They were just getting used to the pick
and roll. I'm saying one of your players scored 40 points. Yeah. Shouldn't that be enough to ensure a victory?
Well, Lamar Odom was 3 for 20. That didn't help.
I think my point is that the rest of the team
can use some help.
Is subpar.
My point is, when you woke up this morning and read the paper, was there a W next to the Lakers?
That's correct. That's correct.
End of story!
Cowboys.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Captain Beefheart.
Captain Beefheart.
Captain
Quiet,
Beefheart
you.
Celebrates his 67th birthday today.
I wish that was my nickname.
How do you see with that?
It's Captain Beefheart. Come on. Worst superhero ever, by the way.
No, that's good.
Guy goes around carrying just a cow's heart, throws it at you. Charo. Legendary singer, dancer, actress Charo.
200.
Coochie Coochie. Celebrates her 57th birthday today.
Yeah, come on. Let's source that.
Chad Lowe. Actor and former husband to Hillary Swank is 40 years old today. And Lisa of the cult Jam. Yeah.
Need you tonight.
Hated that song. Blue.
Yeah, they were everything bad about music of that era. She's 41 years old today.
Yeah.
Bean?
What?
Don't allow him space.
I'm just saying. This is the whole reason
we had... Let's all keep it funky now.
It's the reason we had the sound clip. Everything is for him and his love for Lisa. Now I'm talking about her. I get nothing. I get silence from the island. Do I need that?
The case at all, by the way.
Yes. You should be very...
Who asked for the Lisa clips?
Omar did.
Bean thought... He asked for them. Oh, he got them on his own.
That's just not true. It's absolutely... You're absolutely not telling the truth here.
Omar just told me that Lightning asked him. Therein lies the problem.
It did not come from me. I just want to let you know. Did not. I appreciate Lisa Lisa. I enjoyed hearing the clip, but it didn't have anything to do with
me. He used to talk about her all the time because she wore glasses, and that's he loves glasses.
Oh, he does, yeah.
You're talking about Lisa Loeb, Kevin. For God's sake, pay attention.
There's a difference?
Lisa, yeah, that was like a disco dance thing, the cult jam. Yeah,
Lisa, black and in the 80s. Lisa Loeb was light and in the 90s,
white
okay?
White glasses.
You say, talk all the time, so.
It's a different song.
Lakers won.
How many points did Kobe have?
Back to you, 48.
Oh, that's good.
Back to you.
How's Andrew Bynum playing?
Sick. Oh. Out.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today is my final day of freedom.
That's true.
Because for the next 6 months, all you're going to hear about is goddamn American Idol. Is that why?
Can't stand the show. Everyone else likes it except for me, and everyone talks about it everywhere I go.
I'm going to watch it this time,
Kevin. I am screwed, especially because there's no writers.
Exactly.
Because the writers
strike. I
got
to watch it.
Oh, it's going to hurt.
You know what a ratings juggernaut American Idol is anyway. It's one of the biggest television shows of all time. What's it going to do in the ratings against no competition from the other networks? That's the question you got to be asking yourself. I mean, you really will not be able to escape it.
It was getting Super Bowl numbers when there was competition everywhere.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Well, it is back for season number 7. One thing that American Idol does that's smart, and I think you'll agree with this, is they only air it once per season. It would be easy to keep going back to that well, but we haven't seen it since what, like May or something?
It's been such a sweet break.
So those of us who are fans have really, really missed it. But, you know, the biggest some of the biggest numbers that they get all year are these opening episodes, the first 6 or 7, which are the open auditions. Ralph said tonight is going to be in Philadelphia because these are the people that show up who are just trying to make the cut to get on the show. And this is where the people who are the worst singers in the world come out.
Yeah.
And I think everybody enjoys those.
These I like. And I put together a little montage of last season and the really horrible people that came into to tryouts.
Gloria, you're always on the run now.
Till tomorrow, I'll be holding you tight.
Even if I don't sing, I can be the next American Idol.
Remember her?
In the midnight hour, she cried more.
Simon, what is he? He's not even American.
He needs to go back.
Who is an American Idol to him?
He's not American.
Right.
He needs to go back to where he's from, French.
Amazing grace.
Wow. What normally happens when you sing in public, Deborah, out of interest?
I've had a few people cry.
Let my crying in the eyes.
I with the king of the forest.
Not queen, not duke,
not prince.
Die, die, die!
My darling, don't utter a single word.
Die, die, die!
I can tell they hate me.
No way.
Jason, you're 16 years old.
Jason, you're 16, you got a lot.
16 years old, I wanted to start out famous. They blew me off.
You'll be famous. You're going to be famous.
Well, why are you here?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Don't you want your girlfriend to be hot like me?
Don't you wish your girlfriend... Don't you wish your boyfriend was raw like me?
Is a story of life. Oh, is this just fantasy?
But if you haven't got it, you haven't got it.
Hey, the way I see it, don't be about it. Or don't... Hey.
Tell me something interesting about you.
I live with my grandma. And my daddy's paralyzed. He shot himself. But it's okay.
Why don't you come around so my heart can hear your sweet, sweet sunshine. Hey, girl, I gotta confess.
Maybe it's the floor or something.
Could be the floor.
Yeah.
I'll call. Yeah. I'll fix the singing.
Simon, please.
It's like...
No, please. I'm on my knees.
I know to you, it might sound strange. But I wish it would rain. I wish that it would rain.
Thank you.
You light up my life.
I want to break out of the mold. I want to take what other people have done and multiply it and then raise it to higher heights. And then basically I want to fluctuate it, reverberate it, make the vocals blend in with the music, and then also stand out from the contrast.
In a moment, everything can change.
It's just too good to be true. Sweetheart,
I don't know what that is. I don't know what song that is.
I don't even know if it would even matter.
Oh, Donna. Oh,
all right.
Donna.
Thank you.
Oh.
wait a minute. Let me talk to you, baby girl. Yo, wait a minute.
You fill up my senses.
I think I got all right voice. I think I'd be a Meyer.
Pardon?
I think I could be a Meyer.
A model?
A Meyer.
A mayor?
A Meyer, sir. I just wanna... dance with you.
And let me tell you something. When I do that song, it's going to be so much emotion in the room. You're not going to want to be in there because it's going to be so emotional. If you ever asked to leave, I would say no, no. By the time I turned around, you was on the go-go. I never had time to say my goodbyes.
My wife left me recently. I found out that she had been messing around, but, you know, I forgave her, and then she said she wanted to keep messing around, so I told her to leave.
I feel that I should be the next American Idol because I have an outstanding voice and I have an outstanding vocal.
There is that. There's both of those.
Oh, I can't wait. So 8 o'clock tonight on Fox, 2 hour premiere.
There's more than one Armenian comedian, people. They live all over the country and they're featured tonight. All I'm saying is breakfast with cake. That's all I'm saying.
I'd so be into that. That's a fantastic band, by the way. I'd be with you on that 100%. It's 7:29 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know you're trying to stall, Kevin, but once again, ladies and gentlemen, world premiere.
We don't have time.
Yes, we do. Today's Dr. King's birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Luther King's boots. Hit it, Steve.
Come on. How does this song not go away?
Martin Luther King, Martin Luther King, oh, Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Equality is gonna happen. I have a dream. Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Outside my window. Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Behind the tree. We celebrate his life, you see. Cause he got shot on the balcony. And it's Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Outside my window, blame.
I have a dream. Assassinate. Hold hands in the promised land.
NAACP.
I'm Rick James, bitch. End segregation and racial discrimination. Jim Crow's laws. I'm black. Assassinate. I have a dream. Thanks for the day off.
Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Outside my window. Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Behind the tree.
Wow.
Do you think that Dr. King expected one day he'd be in a song with Rick James, bitch?
Wow.
That was what his goal was.
There's so much wrong with that song. I can't even get to the beginning of it, unfortunately.
How dare you? Hey, today's his birthday. It's a tribute. It's a celebration. We'll be hearing it all week long between now and the holiday.
We have another complaint on hold, by the way.
What?
Another complaint.
A complaint about what?
Really?
That song. You want to talk to her?
Sure.
K-Rock, hello.
I just, I haven't been listening to you guys for a long time, and then when I come back to you guys, all of a sudden I hear spooks, 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 and no, it's not funny to me, actually. I find it really offensive.
As do I, ma'am,
Because I don't find the joke in it. It really was offensive, and I felt that, you know, there were other people that might, you know, be offended by that.
No. Ma'am, what's your name, by the way?
I just go by Rocky.
Okay.
Rocky, okay. Yeah, what's going on here is there's a song that we play on our show every Halloween called Halloween Spooks. It's a jazz song from the early 1960s. And then we've kind of turned that into our all-purpose holiday song. So we had Thanksgiving spooks, then we have Hanukkah spooks. Whatever holiday is coming up, that's the song that we sing about. But they're all based on Halloween spooks, which, yeah, the spooks are referring to ghosts. So now we're at Martin Luther King spooks, and then after that it'll be President's Day spooks, and then St. Patrick's Day spooks.
No,
it
doesn't
have anything to do with it. It doesn't have anything to do with any other use of the word spook.
But that's the problem. Just that word. You know,
but now that you know the context,
offensive.
Wouldn't you not be offended?
Oh, no, I would still be offended.
Well, excellent. Then you just want to be offended.
You are determined to be offended. We're telling you that the spooks has no other connotation other than it happens to be a parody of a song called Halloween Spooks. So now any kind of racist intent you're trying to find in the song is gone.
Okay, but do you understand how it would be offensive to other people?
If you had
not been listening to us on this entire conversation, I can understand how you could be offended, sure. But now that it has been explained and cleared up, you should be, oh, that's a great answer. Thanks, Kevin and Bean. Love the show.
She has to love the show?
No, not really.
Well, you know, I love you guys. I love you guys. That's why I've been calling, because it's like, wait a minute.
Right, but that's why it's fascinating that you didn't have any idea what we were talking about and yet still got that upset.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
So are you demanding the word spooks never be used again?
I would love that. It was never, ever be
even in
used.
The context of spooky or
nope.
to do with Halloween. You just
nope.
you don't want you want that word wiped out.
I just yeah.
Well, that's unreasonable.
No, I mean because of the fact that Halloween is like long gone.
Oh, wait a minute!
So
you're
we saying
didn't know
Halloween?
That. You're saying
we
Halloween is over?
Rocky, there's nothing we can do for you. Look, there are some people who are just determined to be offended, whether they have any reason to be or not. There's nothing we can do about that. But believe me, you're the only one who's calling to complain, the only one who's intentionally misunderstanding our intent, okay?
I'm not intentionally doing it.
We are now. I mean, we explained it to you now, and it's still not good enough.
No, I'm just saying other people might be offended.
Right. Other people might be offended by everything that's said.
Yeah, no, I would be offended, you know, if I never knew anything. So I am calling to ask why.
So we explained it to you. Why did our phone screener write up, she has lawyers? What exactly are you going to sue for?
I'm not going to sue.
Well, then why did he write up, she has lawyers?
I was going to sue if I wasn't going to talk to you guys.
Sue for not being able to talk to us?
You know what? I'm going to sue for not being able to talk to Cindy Crawford. That's what I'm going to sue for.
I'm going to sue because your name is Rocky. How about that?
I had to say something to talk to you.
Oh, dear God.
So now
right.
I think she's trying to help us.
Honestly, you cleared it up. And
right,
I
okay.
thank you because I love you guys. I have always, 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 always listened to you.
Note to self, have Omar create Rocky Spooks.
Okay. Rocky Spooks.
Excellent.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Bye now.
Bye, Rocky.
Oh, dear God.
Got another one. You want to go to the other one?
Why not?
What
we're
now?
On a roll.
I thought we settled that. What?
Carolyn?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Listen to her. Yeah.
Like,
you said, just like my wife, whatever I call her. Oh, it's you. Oh, great.
What?
What's up?
Well, I wasn't going to call until I heard you tell that Rocky girl that you do this every holiday, and it's a song from the early way back times. And play that song on the Martin Luther King thing, like, it's so racist, dude. Like, incredibly racist. All that I could picture was Martin Luther King with a white face and red lips.
What is wrong with you, Carolyn?
Carolyn, there's something seriously wrong with you.
Listen, it made me laugh, and that's totally wrong. So I'm figuring that a lot of other people got that impression. And that impression
is worried about everyone else.
Listen, for just a second, Carolyn, listen. We get so many calls and emails from people who are speaking on behalf of somebody else who they're afraid will be offended. How about just worry about yourself?
What I am saying is, don't even try to put the offensive stuff out there. It's not necessary.
We're not. We're not putting anything offensive out there.
What
we have
was
a song.
Offensive?
We have a song that's Halloween Spooks. That's the name of it. They sing it. I hate it. Bean loves it. So Bean turned it into Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Hanukkah, and every single holiday since Halloween, which is where it comes from. It means spooky, Carolyn. We're not responsible for Martin Luther King Jr. with a white face and red lips in your head.
Your excuse is shenanigans. Like, really? You have a balderdashy excuse for a really racist
All right.
thing.
There's not.
Know.
This word spooks, by the way, is not in the song anywhere.
It's Listen. Like, it's,
do you know that? Are we just not supposed to sing about Martin Luther King?
You know, not with the spook thing out in your tree and all that kind of stuff. It's it's trying to say he's a freaking ape.
I wish I were with Martin Luther King right now. I got to be honest.
Carolyn, shame on you.
I wish I'd been on the balcony now that I listen to Carolyn.
So much worse than, oh, for God's sakes. We hate you.
What now? What? Why the sigh? Kevin? It's Kevin Mitchell at K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. By the way, the star of a new show back for its second season called 10 Items or Less joins us in the, his name's John Lehrer, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on K-Rock. What, is it still about the Martin Luther King song? Is that what people are still calling about?
Frank? Frank?
Hello?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Well, hi, we're Frank. Good. Hi.
I just wanted to say, man, y'all know that song was wrong as hell. Come on now. Y'all know that song was wrong.
Did you hear it?
I did hear it. I did
then
hear
what's,
it.
Then what's wrong about it, besides the fact that it's awful, as all Omar songs are?
I mean, but that one especially. Come on, guys. I mean, I know y'all do the one on Thanksgiving. Y'all do the one for Halloween.
And Hanukkah.
Yes, and Hanukkah.
And where were you for that?
Very outraged. Frank was very upset by that.
Oh, wait. Okay.
So that was
break it down for us. Break it down for us, Frank. What's the problem with the Martin Luther King song? We look at I mean, we're doing more for the Martin Luther King holiday today than most other shows are, I'll tell you that.
By making fun of it? I don't know, Kevin and Bean.
I don't think we were making fun of it.
That's a tribute to the great Dr. King. How dare you?
Look.
Listen. Hey, guys, listen.
If you know about the Halloween song and the Thanksgiving and the Hanukkah, then you know that it's just basically Omar singing in a room and trying to think of ridiculous things to say. There's no... Everybody's trying to make it in. Everybody has their eyes peeled for something that they can make into their gigantic cause. This is my cause. Oh, no, they didn't. Now, shut up. Shut up. Oh, you hung up. All right.
We're just having a laugh. That's all.
Trying.
We're having a laugh.
Having a laugh, yes.
Let's go to Benny in Los Angeles. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning. Hey, you guys are great. Always little complainers. It was funny. It was good, just like your holiday one. We need a Rocky and a Frank spook, so we've got to get that together.
Okay.
We'll work on that. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And coming up in the next hour, bad surprises in your relationships. I don't know if you saw the guy in Poland, but he went to a whorehouse and said, hey, you're my wife. What are you doing here?
She said, working.
Get
she said,
good.
She said, what are you doing here?
You're my husband. What are you doing here?
Research for my article.
They sound like the perfect couple. Plus, we have another chance for you to qualify for our Radiohead concert in Barcelona. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008. Congratulations to Mauricio Cruz from Granada Hills, who won this hour. Your chance on the way. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:58. It's KROQ FM passing Los Angeles. Come on, Ralph.
Britney Spears will never see her children again.
Yes.
Never. That's my prediction.
If they're lucky.
Never.
She was supposed to be in court yesterday to determine whether she had her visitation rights reinstated. The only problem is she showed up 4 hours late for her court date.
Jeez.
Well, good. Then F her. By the way, they wouldn't have had half of these meetings if it were any of us and we skipped one court date. No, we'd be in prison.
We'd be in jail by now. It's ridiculous.
4 hours late.
Yeah. Kevin Federline, her ex-husband, showed up half an hour early. So Commissioner Gordon got to hear his side of the story more than Brittany's. However, it wouldn't have mattered because they also interviewed the firemen and EMTs who showed up when Brittany barricaded herself inside her home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would not turn her kids over. So it was pretty much decided that she will get no visitation rights until February 19th when everyone heads back to court for yet another hearing.
So this one's going to last a month, supposedly.
Yeah.
February 19th. All right.
So here we go.
Hey, Ralph, the reason there's no contempt charges from the judge, as I understand it, is she was not legally required to be there. It was just advised that she be there in order to have a shot at to
her
getting
her
kids.
Her lawyer said if you want visitation rights, you're going to have to show up, basically.
Right.
And she opted not to. She tried. She got there.
4 hours late.
Arrived at the courthouse 4 hours late. Got out of the car, her Cadillac Escalade. Screamed at the photographers, move back. I'm scared. Stop it. Stop it. I want to get back in the car. Just stop it. Let me in the car, please. Got back in the car, then took off.
Well, that's enough, shouldn't? Isn't that enough?
Then she went to the Little Brown Church in San Fernando Valley, where she stopped to pray with her paparazzo boyfriend, wearing her wedding dress that she got married to K-Fed in.
Okay.
Speaking in a British accent. Look, if I wrote this story,
no way.
There's no way anyone would believe it.
We'd go, you're going way over the top. You got to make it more believable.
The pop star loses her mind, and she loses her kids, and then she starts dating one of the paparazzi, and then she starts wearing her wedding dress around.
It's too much. There's no way you would believe that if it's fiction.
She's like freaking whatever happened to Baby Jane or Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, just one of these lunatic celebrities that's losing her mind.
I want my mom to go to a good rehab where she'll actually stay.
Yes, me too. That's what we want.
Thank you, Jaden.
The writer's strike, it's just getting ugly. It's getting worse and worse, and we're getting more and more bad reality television because of it. CBS has just put their order in for 3 new TV series that don't require scripts. One is called Secret Talents of the Stars.
Oh, boy.
Secret Talents of the Stars.
It's kind of like America's Got Talent, only with pseudo-celebrities showing us what they can do.
And by stars, they always mean, like, at least D-level.
Yeah.
At least.
It's going to be, Catherine Zeta-Jones' hairstylist
right.
coming out, showing that she can suck a golf ball through a piece of garden hose or something.
I'd like to see that.
Another one's called The Game Show in My Head. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
And America's Top Dog.
No.
Where we'll get to see dogs compete against each other.
No.
For a can of Alpo.
You could see that.
No.
On television.
No.
More bad TV news?
Lisa will watch that, so we'll say
of course you will.
I was thinking about it.
Kevin Federline's going to be on One Tree Hill tonight. He starts his 3-episode arc tonight.
Oh, he's going to be good.
As a struggling rock star.
He's going to be good.
He's going to be awesome in it.
What a sucker Kevin is.
Yeah, it's true. And, of course, American Idol kicks off tonight with their first in their many audition episodes. Where you see all the bad ones.
These are the only good ones.
And on TBS tonight, 10 Items or Less, the TV series that I guest starred on this year, has their second season debuting. We'll be talking to the star of that show, John Lehrer, just a couple minutes.
Will you possibly be cut out of the episode, Ralph?
We'll have to ask him. He is also okay. The creator, co-creator of the show, so he'll tell me whether I actually made it onto the screen or not this time. Looking forward to it. Vampire's dead.
Vampire.
Yeah. Remember Vampire?
I was very sad about that.
Vampire was the first
really.
Of the TV no. horror hosts.
No, I don't know her.
Elvira, our friend Cassandra Peterson, was sort of the next in line. Of that thing. But this had, in 1954, Vampire had her show on television. She would host bad old horror movies and be funny and sexy. And it was quite the cultural phenomenon.
Kevin, you remember the movie Ed Wood, I'm sure.
Yes.
There was a character, and they're playing Vampire. Maybe you remember
Lisa there, Marie, the smoking hot model, who played, looked like a Morticia Adams kind of outfit in Plan 9 from Outer Space? Any of this ringing a bell? Any any flicker of recognition at all?
We spent so much of our show trying to explain what we're talking about.
You've seen the movie Ed Wood.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago. We should probably move on.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's going to help.
Anyway, she's dead.
I was shocked that she was still alive, by the way, Ralph. When I saw the obituary over the weekend, I was thinking, how could she still be alive? She was famous in the 50s, but I guess she was 90, I guess, is how she did
was,
it.
She was 85. I just saw a documentary about her last year. They talked about her, and what a smash hit the show was. It was huge. It was on Life magazine. Everything was amazing.
Really, yes, documentaries are you watching?
I like to watch showbiz documentaries. About
she
Vampira.
Sued Elvira, by the way, for many, many millions of dollars for ripping off her act. And
how
lost,
do you people
correctly.
Know so much about
because
Vampira?
She's a pop culture
she's
icon.
A Los
that's
Angeles
why.
Classic. She's a Los Angeles legend.
Well, let's spend
legend.
The next 15 minutes talking about the court cases that she's been in.
Look, you want to talk about that or Britney Spears' court case?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's Kevin, a lose-lose.
Last hour, you didn't know who Lisa Loeb was, okay? So you got no room to complain about anything we're talking about.
Just saying.
I'm just saying, all morning long on the celebrity birthdays, we've been talking about Charo's age at the age of 57.
Yeah.
To which we all found less than credible.
Because she was old when I was young. You know, how could she possibly be 57?
I want to thank listener Lee for sending me this story. Apparently, let's see, a few years back, Charo went to court in Las Vegas, Nevada, to petition having her age corrected on official documents by having 10 years trimmed off of it.
10 years?
I thought you were joking when you said she had her age reduced.
Nope.
You can do that legally?
The judge ruled in her favor. After she petitioned to get her birth date changed from 1941 to 1951, saying that was the correct date, and they had all of her official documents changed. So she legally cut 10 years off of her life.
Wow!
That's fantastic. So, why doesn't everybody do that?
Today she's 57.
Again?
And I guess she's really 67.
Wow!
So there's your answer to why she looks so horribly old at 57 years old.
Dave Grohl told us yesterday on his 39th birthday that he was, in fact, 27. So maybe he's taken a page out of the Charo playbook.
I'm guessing it's because Charo comes from, I don't know, Guatemala, where the hell she's from.
Exactly.
So maybe she didn't have, you know, maybe she claimed that her official records were missing or destroyed or something. And so she was able to sort of get away with
it. But doesn't the judge see right through that and go, what
look
are you?
At you.
Come
don't
on.
Look at you. There's no way. But, yeah, so that's why she's 57 today. Now we know the answer to why Charo looks so bad. So thank you, listener Lee, for sending me that that court document. Once again, I've gotten to the bottom of a case that needed to be solved.
Yeah.
So we said goodbye to Vampire and got to the bottom of Charo Gate, all in the same Showbiz report.
Nice work.
You're very welcome, Los Angeles. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz beat.
Look, we've heard the complaints. We've made the complaints. There's nothing new on television. The writer's strike is killing us. Well, American Idol's back tonight, but there's something else on the TV tonight that we want to tip you off to. It is the season 2 premiere of 10 Items or Less on TBS. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, John Lehrer, joins us here in the studio.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, guys.
One of the funniest guys on television. I'm telling you right now. Freaking genius.
He's giving him the hand signal to keep it coming. John, how come this is not affected by the writer's strike? What's your secret?
Well, I'm in the show and I write, so we had to write way, way in advance. So we actually, I wish I could say we planned it, you know, and looked like a genius. We didn't. We just lucked out and got them done before the strike, so... You know, we just happened to do it.
So you have your whole season.
Yeah. We're done. They do like HBO style, you know, do like 8 at a time. So we shot all 8, and then the writers went on strike. And
The show is improvised, but John and Nancy, who also works on the show, you guys write the storylines out.
Yeah. Time, we write like a detailed outline. But as you know, Ralph, who appeared on the show, we don't show the script to the actors at all.
Right. You show up on the set and they say, all right, here's what's happening. Go.
So you write the script and then hold it from everyone.
That's right.
Why do you bother? I don't understand.
Just for our purposes, we want to let the executives know what the show is going to hopefully be, sort of some semblance of what it's going to be like. And then also it kind of just gives us a game plan, you know, like
it's like where coaching. You're going at least. Yeah.
So like, if it's improv, how many hours go into it? I mean, you must have to do a lot because somebody says something or whatever. Let's do it again.
Do you have to do more than a scripted piece?
I did the last episode of this season I did with John and the gang over there, and it was
kicked butt. Oh, he's awesome. He's evil and awesome.
Well, he could play evil.
Yeah, he really got that.
He's got that going.
And I was blown away by how hard it is to do because you are shooting over and over and over and over and over again, and you're doing a different take every time until they get an idea, that piece is good and that piece is good, and they sort of put it all together in the editing afterwards.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's the one show where actors actually have to work for a living.
That's true.
You know?
It's like, okay, having said all that, what is the advantage rather than just write the script and have those parts be good and go ahead and just have your actors film that once?
I think that it's just rhythm and tone. You know, I think people, you know, people seem to be a little tired of the setup, you know, punchline kind of.
Sitcoms aren't funny.
They're not funny.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
So we're trying to do what you guys do, you know,
right.
Which is like, you know.
Suck.
Drive our listeners away. But in a funny way. But,
yeah, sucking in a funny way. That's the TBS new motto. No. We just think that, like, you know, when you're with your friends, somebody says something really funny,
right.
But if you try to type it down and repeat it wouldn't be funny. That's what we're going for.
That's totally the essence of it.
I got to tell you, I don't go to TBS for anything except for basketball.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, that.
And Family Guy.
TNT. And Family Guy reruns, yeah. Right. I never thought of it as this is a brand new show. This is a place to watch new
shows.
They
just started. I mean, this is the second season of original programming. You know, they got a lot of reruns. You know, they got Friends. Now they have The Office. We come on right after The Office, which is cool. But yeah, they've got like 4 shows. It's a brand new thing for them. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really happy. It was the one place I wanted to be just because, I mean, how many times you get a chance to, you know, launch a network, you know, and. It's
not
been
often. That's absolutely true.
I haven't had that option very often at all. You shoot this locally, right? You shoot this.
Yeah, we shoot in Reseda. We're the one non-porn shooting in Reseda.
It's so weird because you're not working on a set. They shoot in an actual grocery store.
Yeah, and
it's open.
It's open while you're shooting.
Really?
What?
Yeah. So all the customers you see in the background are all real. I was just saying that we were just cutting Ralph's episode together, and there's this woman in like tight leopard pants and
stretch pants.
You just couldn't find somebody like that. You couldn't cast him. She just
wandered into the store and was buying.
She's
something.
Shopping, and she becomes an extra in the background because they shoot around real people.
Ralph is doing this kind of somewhat serious scene where he's really like laying the hammer on me, and this girl, this woman behind him, is just in this outfit shopping for pork chops.
Like, massive leopard skin camel toe goes walking.
Oh,
by.
Yeah, man!
By the way, leopard skin camel toe, I think, is
very
opening,
good. They're very.
I saw them last year with shopping for pork chops. It was a great double bill. Do the customers who wander into the store having no idea, perhaps, that a television show is being filmed, do they ever end up interacting with you guys, with your characters?
I try to, you know, if they walk by, I'll definitely say something and try to wrangle them in.
There have to be cameras there, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
you have to see that.
Yeah, but we're pretty low key. I mean, we're like a reality show, so there aren't tally lights. There's not a ton of lights. You know, we're kind of, you can't really tell when we're shooting and when we're not.
And do people come over and say, "What are you doing?" and spoil a scene?
Rarely.
Really?
Most of the time, people could care less. They just want to get their shot.
Or they ask John, where is your prune juice?
Yeah.
You know, they think he works at the store because he's dressed in a vest and he's got the tie on and everything.
Yeah. Ralph, at first, we would say, you know, look, I'm an actor. We're shooting it. And then it's like, oh, to hell with it. It's over there, aisle four on the bottom. It's on sale.
Well, you happen to have all that info.
Yeah, if you're at the supermarket all the time, you probably do know the layout of it pretty well, I would imagine.
It's a sweet perk because, you know, we all do our shopping while we're working.
That's right. Of course.
When we get done shopping, like the entire cast and crew goes through the checkout line. It's fantastic.
Now Ralph tipped me off to an upcoming episode. And again, if you're just joining us, John Lehrer is in the studio from 10 Items or Less, premiering tonight on TBS at, I guess, at 8 o'clock? I want to say
it's at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, sorry. 11 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, we're late night.
He tipped us off to an episode where you have an actual cow in the supermarket. What's the plot line and how did that go? Because as a guy who has cows, I can tell you they do not take direction very well.
Fresh
this,
milk?
This one was amazing.
Milk
this
your
cow,
own cow?
A trained cow?
I don't know how they got it to do, but we like said, can you make the cow walk out of the grocery store without anybody leading it? And they're like, yeah, sure.
What?
And I don't know how they did it. And the cow walked out. The doors slide open and the cow walks out.
Are there cow trainers that are out there trying to get their...
That cow was so cute. God, that cow was cute.
Trying to get
cute.
Their cattle parts? What the hell?
Why was there a cow in the supermarket, John? What was the cow doing?
My character, Leslie, decides that he goes into business with the butcher and he decides that people want fresh meat, like sushi. They want mushy.
Oh.
And so he brings a cow in, people pick out their steaks, and then he slaughters the cow in front of them. Yeah,
it's good
fantastic.
Times.
Yeah.
Now, what part does Ralph play? He's evil?
He is the evil nemesis from the manager of the Super Value Mart, the Walmart-type store across the way. And Ralph, I got to say, totally delivered.
Oh, stop. I have a
seriously.
Clip of Ralph delivering. You want me to play the clip of Ralph?
Yeah,
okay, here we go.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game. Reggie, my friend, you and I are going to be rolling in the dough.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. You just made it to a bloodbath.
10 items or less.
That's not from that?
That's from an ABC After School special I did many years ago.
Oh, that's right.
It didn't sound like it was in a supermarket.
No. I was confused.
What was
exactly
the name
in a men's room.
What was it about?
It was called A Class Act. And I played the captain of the high school football team who was trying to keep the soccer team off our field because they wanted their own uniforms and practice time.
Jesus. After school specials really hit bottom, man.
You just made it a bloodbath.
And I had a gambling problem, and I wagered the captain of the soccer team that had him throw the game so we could make some money gambling on it. Big money on the soccer match in high school.
There's a lot of gambling in high
school.
Here's
a real clip from 10 Items or Less.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross.
Yeah.
All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Okay, that's Omar from Cucamonga Heat, but he made it in college. That's not that either.
So let's have a clip of Ralph on the show or not?
We don't have a clip of the show, but not of Ralph.
Let's hear that.
Ralph's in the closing episode, the season ender, and we haven't mixed it yet. I'm going there today to do the sound.
So you'd be surprised if we had a clip.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay. Jesus.
Here's a clip of the show.
This is the Greens and Grains grocery store. It's been in my family for 5 generations. This is my father, Bud. He never thought I'd amount to anything, so I went to New York City to prove him wrong. He died before I could do so. And now I'm back in Ohio running the Greens and Grains grocery store. The crew here is really counting on me. I hope I don't screw this up.
Oh, I hate that.
That's the show's open. That is the open.
That's
over
the old opening. We ripped it out this year. I hated that. No,
so the only clip I have, you hate.
Yeah. God, I hate that thing.
All right. Let's go back
to Ralph's people clip. Not to watch the show, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right,
John? Don't watch it. You know what? Don't watch it. Wait till Ralph.
John's character is the guy, the manager in the store, but he always has some sort of wacky promotional idea to bring people into the store because it's sort of struggling.
And it's kind of like minor league baseball where they have to throw some kind of new marketing program every time.
Exactly.
And in our episode, John decides to throw a Renaissance fair in the store while people are shopping.
Yeah.
And they've got jousting and shopping carts going on.
Nice. Ralph, we have a great jousting scene where we put two actors in shopping carts and rammed them into each other. It was fantastic.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
John gets the juggle in that episode. It was very entertaining.
I had the flu when the first day when Ralph was working and puked my brains out.
They had to put a trash can under the set where he was standing so he could turn and vomit and then go back to work.
I hope they kept that in.
God, it was brutal.
Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Brand new show, 10 items or less. I've not seen it yet. I'm excited to have something else to try and check out.
We have the episodes from last season up on tbs.com if you want to check it out.
Oh, okay.
If you want to catch up.
Yeah.
It's a very, very funny show. And the cast is amazingly talented. And keep in mind, you know, they're all coming up with their own dialogue on
all
the set.
All improv.
And it's hard to do. And it comes out, it's very, very funny stuff when it works.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you. Right, and thanks, Ralph, for doing it. He was amazing.
My pleasure.
Seriously.
Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Tuesdays, 11 o'clock on TBS. Good thing our conversations aren't on the air during the songs.
Kidding.
That's Lincoln Park. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:32. Time to talk about bad relationship surprises. We have two stories. One comes out of Warsaw, Poland. A Polish man got the shock of his life when he went to a brothel, walks through the door. Apparently, they line up the girls, and he says, "Hey, you're my wife."
Well, don't pick her.
And she says, "Hey, you're my husband. What are you doing here? What are you doing here?"
By the way, after 14 years of apparently happy marriage, they're now divorcing. Like one little thing like that's going to get in the way of them staying together. Come on, people, you got to work it out.
So we're going to need your phone calls if you've had bad relationship surprises. There's another one out of London, England, and this one's a little more creepy. There were a guy and a girl met and married. Mm-hmm. After they were married, they found out that they both had kind of the same background, that they were foster children, and they were raised, they were adopted, they were foster children.
Okay.
And it finally came out in the courts that they were not only had a similar background, they were brother and sister, but not only that, they were twins. Separated?
No.
Twins separated at birth, raised in two different ways. Neither of them knew about the other one. Met, fell in love, got married.
Oh, my God.
Then found out they were twins.
So what happened to that relationship?
Yeah, they had it annulled. The court annulled it.
Yeah, I bet it did.
That's weird. I would hope they would let them stay married.
If they didn't want to have kids,
by the way.
Bring it up. But they probably got creeped out.
Yeah, you
got
to be a little creeped out. It's not even just a sibling. It's your twin.
You don't know that they literally met as adults. It's not like they knew of the other person as a brother.
No, I know.
I still think that once you know, you would get really creeped out.
It seems like it wouldn't be ideal.
Well, I just hope they weren't an annulment wasn't forced on them. I hope that was their choice rather than you're not allowed to be married. This person that you fell in love with and married, you're not allowed to be married because you didn't realize you were related. I hope that wasn't the case.
So you think twins should be married. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying as long as they don't have kids, there's no reason why these two shouldn't be married. But that would fall under the category of bad surprise. Both of those stories are outstanding examples of what we're looking for. You're with somebody for a while and then you find out that they are fill in the blank. Those are the calls we're going to be looking for.
And we've done this before and they're always great calls from I didn't realize she had a penis to any number of things.
Yes.
So it just is ugly.
It's been a long time since we've done this, but I do specifically remember some of the calls in the past include I never knew he killed a guy and did time in prison. I mean, those are the sorts of things you find out maybe too late into the relationship that you would have, I don't know, perhaps preferred a heads up at the beginning.
Maybe a little knowledge from the beginning. So 1-800-520-1067 if you have one of those stories, and we'll take your calls right after. We're talking about bad surprises in a relationship. The story out of Poland, hey, you're my wife at a brothel. hey, you're my husband at a brothel. That was the conversation. And wait a minute. You're my twin was the other one out of London. They were married when they found out they were twins, separated at birth.
Yeah, that is. That, I think that qualifies as a bad surprise. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. Why don't we start with Tina in Los Angeles? We got a lot of great calls, and there's still room for yours. Tina sounds like one that's probably pretty common, but that doesn't make it any easier for you when you're on the receiving end of the bad news. Good morning, Tina. Welcome to the Kevin DeBene Show.
Good morning.
Bad surprise. How long were you dating this guy?
A year.
A year?
All right.
Okay.
And then, and what'd you find out about him?
Well, we broke up, and I went out and met somebody, and his story sounded very familiar. I asked him what his last name was, and it was the same as my ex. Turned out to be his brother.
Okay.
His younger brother. So the younger brother invited me over to the house to meet his brother. And unfortunately, the brother wasn't there, but that's how I found out that he was married, through the younger brother.
Oh, so the guy that you were dating for a year was married.
Right.
I gotcha.
I didn't
and then
know
you
it.
Started dating his, you lost me, you started
his
dating
brother.
His brother and went over to their family home, and that's when you found out that the ex-boyfriend was married.
No, I didn't start dating. I had met him at a club, and we started talking, and his story sounded familiar, and so did the last name, and then he told me what his brother's name was, and that's how I knew that.
I got you.
Brother was
okay,
married.
Wow.
The brother knew about me. The brother knew that I was dating the married brother. He said, oh, you're so-and-so. I've
sure.
heard a lot about you.
Oh, my God.
Because you were dating my married brother for a year. Wow.
Exactly.
How about that? So how pissed were you?
Extremely. Yeah. So I got even.
Oh. What'd you do?
I dated the younger brother for a while, and the older brother found out and called me and said, how could you do it?
Nice. How could you do it? He was angry that his girlfriend was cheating on him with his brother.
Yeah.
When he was married.
The married
okay.
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
that's fantastic.
You, Tina.
Let's go to Anna. She is on line 5 on the Kevin DeBene Show. Stop it, Mike. Anna from Anaheim. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, come on. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi,
good.
Anna.
Bad surprise.
So I was talking to a boyfriend of mine a long time ago about a crazy thing we've ever done. And we've been together for a while. And he finally came out with the fact that he robbed a little old lady with a hatchet.
What? Did you say he robbed an old lady with a hatchet?
Did.
Oh, and he told you this?
Oh, my God. He told me. I was like, ew.
Did that turn you off a bit? Or
quite
like,
a bit.
You like that sort of thing.
Did you break up with him because he robbed a little old lady with a hatchet?
Not right away.
By the way, what?
What
not
was his
right
excuse?
Away. She was waiting for something more.
Was he stoned or something?
Well, the topper that actually got me to break it off was the fact that I learned that he grew marijuana, too.
Well, that would make you stay with him.
Wait, elder abuse is okay with you, but not growing the wacky tobacco.
The guy Come robbed on. An old lady with a hatchet. By the way, old women, you can pretty much rob without a hatchet. You don't need a hatchet.
Right.
Starts growing like weed, you're out. What is wrong with you, Anna?
I don't know. He was doing it at his house, and I didn't want to go to prison.
When you left, did he say,
Anna?
Well, of course he did, certainly. Right, thank you for the call. Let's talk to Dave on line 2. Kevin DeBene, Sean Kirok, talking about bad surprises. You've been going out with him or her for a while, and then you find out something not is as you expected. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What happened to you?
Well, I was seeing this woman for a couple of months, and we were actually not, you know, doing the deed because we were waiting to things, you know, a little more solid.
Right.
And one day I'm alone at her house, and I do something bad. I read her journal.
Ooh.
Oh, never read her journal.
Well, duh. And
never
after,
do that.
After I left her house, you know, after all of our, you know, foreplay of, you know, kissing and stuff, she'd go over to somebody else's house and do the deed with him.
Oh, she was going someplace else and having sex?
That was Mr. Foreplay.
Wow, so you'd warm her up, and then she'd leave and go to the real dude.
Exactly.
Wow,
oh, man.
That's fantastic. Well, maybe you should have been a little better. You ever think about that?
I think somebody should be thanking me right now.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave. let's see. Let's go. Boy, we don't have time for all of these.
I know. We got some great calls. We really do. John is great. Jeff is great. Let's at least try to squeeze those two in.
All right. Let's go to John in Los Angeles. Good morning, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Bad surprises.
Oh, man, bad surprises. Let me tell you this much. This girl swears to me that she's the most purest of all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get her a room over there in New York because she likes to go to school over there. So I decided to go fly and see her, and I missed my flight the last night I was there. So I decided to go back to her apartment.
Never do that. Never do that. If you're supposed to be gone, stay gone.
I found there were two men in the same bed, and then she goes on to say, I'm a whore. And I'm like, well, do you do sexual favors, or are you really just a whore? She's like, if you look it up in the book, my picture's going to be there. I'm a whore. But it shouldn't matter because I gave you my virginity anyway.
She gave you her virginity?
She gave me her virginity. Okay?
Oh, sure she did. That's what she tells every guy, John.
Yeah. Well, that's how she gets that extra 15 bucks out of you.
That's right. Thank you for the
Thanks
call.
For the call. And we'll close with Jeff on line 7 talking about bad surprises on the Kevin and Bean Show. This one's almost too good to be true.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What'd you find out?
Hey, so I was dating this girl when I was around 15, 16, and then I found out that our parents got married.
You found out what?
Well, my parents got divorced when I was around 12, and so did hers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on this vacation when we were going out, and they came back, and my mom was married to her dad.
So now you guys were brother and sister, basically.
Well, but yeah, but broke stepbrother. Up and they got divorced.
Stepbrother and sister.
Stepbrother and sister. Not the same thing, but.
Huh.
That's not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
That would have been better had it been different.
Yeah.
Mike, help me. Help me, Mike. Help me.
I was tied in a knot. Sorry.
Yeah. Yesterday morning on the show, we announced the K-Rock World Tour 2008 destination number 2. It's Radiohead, a band you've heard of, and a city maybe you've heard of, too, called Barcelona in Spain. Your chance to qualify for that and win the new In Rainbow CD coming up between 9 and 10. Right now, K-Rock FM passing Los Angeles. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning.
Barcelona.
Yes.
That's how you say it properly. Barcelona.
You say it with
Barcelona.
A TH?
Barcelona, yes.
All right.
That's like a
they do have a funky accent.
Castilian way of saying it. Barcelona. That's
Look,
right.
I have enough like, trouble like with Pez. Mexican Spanish without worrying about Spanish Spanish.
Like Pez from the 70s show?
Oh, sure.
Why are you doing that, Ashton Kutcher? Barcelona.
Work on the accent, please.
Ah, Rashida Jones.
In the office?
Yum, 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 yum. Daughter of Quincy Jones is still confronting the question of nepotism regarding her career. She does an interview in Details magazine talking about the myth, she calls it, that nepotism still exists in Hollywood. She says that the town is just too competitive and there are too many jobs on the line for anyone to doll out any favors because of who your dad is. Her dad, of course, is Quincy Jones, legendary producer and rock on tour. She says, in the meanwhile...
He's not in the rock on tours. I don't even know what you're talking about, Ralph.
By the way, she's not a bad actress.
She's a great
right?
actress.
She's, good. She's a real good actress. She deserves everything she's had.
Beautiful and talented.
That's You would look at somebody who's bad and say, how did she get that
right.
job?
Blah, I look blah, blah. At Elizabeth Berkley on CSI Miami and I say, who's her dad? I don't ask who's Rashida Jones's dad.
Right.
I say, is her father Berkeley, California?
Yes, that's her father.
How do you explain the fact that she's on a television series? CSI Miami's got David Caruso and Elizabeth Berkley acting together at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's still a hit, by
Two
the way. That's what's shocking about that.
Running a TV series.
Rashida Jones, who is so great on The Office, by the way, is also the co-star and plays Dave Grohl's love interest in the Long Road to Ruin video.
Oh, that's right.
Out from Foo Fighters right now. And she's tremendous in that, too. She's awesome.
I was going to mention that. That's one of the reasons I brought it up because of we had Dave, of course, on the show yesterday. But... although she plays his love interest in that video, you know who her real love interest is in real life?
I don't.
Me?
I don't believe I do.
John Krasinski from The Office. Those two
look
together.
Look at that.
No
he
kidding.
Scores.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He gets to fool around with Jenna Fischer on the set, pretend like their girlfriend and boyfriend. Then he goes home to her and is a real boyfriend and girlfriend.
Nice.
How about that?
Do you remember when we had Rashida Jones on the phone?
No.
Oh, I do remember that.
No.
Remember? Because Kevin was confused about how much she knew about her role when she accepted her role on The Office.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Come on. Did you know that going into when you started on the second Office when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
What?
That was a moment.
How do you answer that?
You don't.
How do you, as a person getting that question, do you respond?
If I recall correctly, she had a stroke just hearing that question.
Her head exploded right up the top of her
sense.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
You dark-sided, Kevin.
Don't know how to explain that.
Wow.
Kevin, goddammit.
Happens sometimes.
Hear about rapper DMX?
Black.
Oh, yeah.
He's having a bad week. He was ordered to shell out $1.5 million to a woman named Monique Wayne.
Jackpot.
Here's the story. Back in 2006, DMX told Sister to Sister magazine that Monique raped him while he was sleeping.
That's right. I remember thinking, how does a hardcore rapper, even just not a hardcore rapper, how do they say to their community, I was raped? No
by a
way.
Woman.
By a woman.
My sleep.
By a woman.
Well, Monique took exception to that story and sued him for defamation, false
really?
Statements, and unreasonable publicity.
Never heard of that, but all right.
See, DMX admitted that he made up the story in an effort to placate his wife at the time.
How'd that work out?
I bet she wasn't placated.
Oh, you were raped. Okay, honey.
Lisa, would that work with you if your boyfriend came to you and said, yeah, I did have sex with her, but I was asleep and she raped me?
No. That wouldn't fly in a million years.
Doesn't fly for
honey,
1 second, right?
It wouldn't fly if I used it either.
I couldn't control my... She raped me. You're not supporting me.
Lisa, would you say...
Rape me.
If he did? No.
You have to come to my defense, honey. I was raped. I need to be held.
DMX.
Here's the thing. Monique became pregnant by him, too, after the...
Well done.
Well, she should have thought about that before she forced him to have sex with her.
It's true.
She won a paternity suit along with child support, and now this is an additional $1.5 million for making her look bad.
Wow.
So that was a bad night for DMX all the way around.
You think?
That night of rape.
By the way...
Night of rape, by the way. Besides,
they're very good. This didn't get as much play because of how much a bigger star Michael Vick is, but DMX got his own dogfighting problems. He hasn't been charged yet, but they found a dozen dogs or something out on his property in Arizona that he claims he has no knowledge
of. The dogs forced themselves on him, Bean.
Yes, the dogs made him let them fight.
That's right.
Right. So I'm down on DMX anyway.
Any choice. He also is the designer of that dog fashion label with the doggy bulletproof vests and the doggy flak jackets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Urban dog wear.
A better idea. Get him out of line of fire. How about that? Bulletproof vest for dogs.
It's unbelievable. Dennis Haysbert. Remember him from 24?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Played President David Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the unit now.
That's what she said.
I like that show.
Well done.
He's patting himself on the back in TV Guide magazine saying that he paved the way for Barack Obama's campaign for president.
Because he was an African-American president.
Well,
he was a black president on television. That made it more acceptable for the public to open up their minds and consider the notion that a black man could be president.
Wasn't Morgan Freeman a president in a movie?
I think he was in Deep Impact, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa.
That was before.
You just don't get it.
Remember when Long Leggy Leg Legs was playing president and they said she's paving the way for Hillary Clinton? Remember that?
Long Leggy Leg Legs.
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
Right.
She was playing the president.
Same thing.
Kevin Transtaper or something.
I certainly should have guessed from Long Leggy Leg Legs that it was Gina Davis.
But at the time, they were saying, oh, this must be paving the way. You must be doing the work for Hillary.
Yeah.
Stop
this is
it.
Weird.
Maybe
by the way,
girl from Beetlejuice or just something else you could give us besides a long leggy leg leg?
I got it.
Thank you, Lisa.
How about Academy Award winner Gina Davis? Why not just think of her name?
I'm not even asking to go that far. Well,
you
but maybe a little more of a clue than leggy leg leg.
I wasn't turning down her name in my mind, Bean. I wasn't going, yes,
Susan
I know Gina
Anton,
Davis.
For all I know. She's got long legs.
But she played the president, I thought would narrow it in. It did for Lisa.
I
she,
got it.
She speaks me.
By the way,
well,
by the way,
scary in my head.
Yes,
I don't know if Mr. Dennis Haysbert, or what's his name,
Dennis Haysbert,
is right or not. But I heard a conversation just this week from people that I know about whether, legitimately, the question is whether a black man can be elected president of the United States. And I think that's a topic worth having on this show. I don't think we've had that yet. If Barack Obama gets the nomination, is there any chance he could win? Or are there people out there so entrenched with racism that they would never vote for a black guy, even if he's the better candidate?
I think yes and yes.
I can't imagine.
I think those people exist. They're completely entrenched in racism. But I also think a black person could win in this, this country because I think there's more people who aren't entrenched than are.
I do, too.
I'm going to tell you that
and
our
I think
friend,
the people who are entrenched are voting Republican anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
You could be right there.
Yeah.
Our little token black K-Rock listener, Anel, who, as you know, is an actual friend of mine we speak, he said that he has relatives who believe that if Obama is elected, he could be buried in the suit they inaugurate him in. That's how long his presidency will last. I mean,
wow.
They firmly believe that someone will try to take him out just because he's a black man holding the office.
Well, nice, nice idea to put out there on Martin Luther King's birthday. Being
I'm just saying nobody wants that to happen. I'm saying that's their fear. That's their impression of what America's like.
That's
crazy. I wonder in the 21st century if that's still true. That's all I'm saying.
Despite what you're hoping for, I hope that's not the case.
When my black help gets here today, I'm going to run that by him.
Oh, God.
How dare you?
Why do you have to?
Look at the time already.
He just pokes people with a stick. That's all he does.
That's what she said? Already out of time. But not before I do the Britney story. Just one more time.
All right.
She was supposed to show up yesterday to defend her right to visit her children. Not for custody, just to spend time with them, just to hang out.
Even if she goes somewhere else. Not at her house, right?
Right.
Okay.
This would be supervised visitation. And her lawyer said, look, you really got to show up today. So she did show up, to her credit.
Well, that's good.
4 hours late for the hearing.
And judges like that or don't like that?
Apparently, Commissioner Gordon, the man who's hearing all the information on this,
yeah,
did not take kindly to that and awarded no visitation rights to Brittany.
Good.
Until the next time they revisit this case on February the 19th.
So. Good.
She showed up 4 hours late, got out of her SUV, saw all the press, got back in the SUV, drove away with her paparazzo boyfriend, and went to the little brown church in the valley to pray?
Hmm.
I don't know. They had shots of her wearing her wedding dress, the dress she got married in when she married K-Fed, with the paparazzo in the church, sort of hanging out and chatting.
How long until the paparazzo sells his story? Front page
as
soon of
every. As she dumps him, I guess.
Front page of every newspaper.
She stops buying him stuff whenever that happens. I was thinking the other day, she has never had this much coverage, right? Even when she was the biggest pop star in the world.
True.
We didn't pay this much attention to Britney Spears.
Because she wasn't doing something unbelievable every single day.
I was watching the tabloid shows last night. It was either Access Hollywood Entertainment Tonight or something. And they had a story on Christina Aguilera because she just had her baby.
Uh-huh.
And they're showing her, and she's on tour, and she sings incredible, just an incredible voice, and she's dancing her ass off, and they're showing all this concert footage, and she's pretty, and she's put together. She can't buy she has to have a baby in order to get some coverage. Must be eating her up alive.
Oh, I think this is her goal. I think she made the conscious decision to not be this person, to not be the paparazzi target.
No, but don't you think she'd like to have some more attention put on her talent and her career and everything? How often do you hear about her, other than the fact that she's been pregnant?
There was a time when people were arguing over who was better,
Brittany
or Christina.
They were neck and neck. They were the same level, and now Brittany has just become this supernova of white-hot publicity, and Christina's sort of suffering in the background.
I can't see anyone looking at Brittany's life and being jealous of it and wishing they had some of that.
Wants that kind of publicity, but I think she would maybe appreciate some attention spent to her career and how great she is and how normal she is and how much more deserving she is of some attention.
I give her a lot of credit, by the way. I have a lot of respect for her for being one of those celebrities who can be a big star and turn it off and not be a target all the time. You know, live a private life and then make an appearance when she wants to.
Oh, she's a target.
And then right after that, Entertainment Tonight and The Insider did an hour on Danny Lynn's eye patch, which I thought was well worth covering.
No, they didn't.
Mark Steinis went to the house to sit down with Larry Birkhead and talk about Danny Lynn's eye patch. Larry. Let me just be blunt. Is Danny going blind?
No, she's got a lazy eye, so we put a patch on the strong eye, and then the lazy one will straighten out so she won't be cross-eyed.
Okay.
Is she a pirate?
Can we go look at her bedroom?
Come back, Lara. Unseen footage of Danny Lynn's bedroom.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
Who needs to see the bedroom of a 16-month-old? What sort of dark secrets are lingering in there under the Tickle Me Elmo and the picture of the Count on the wall?
I hope now we're not going to start making fun of people with lazy eyes.
Yeah, I hope not, too. I think that's the last thing any of us want.
Long way to go, but worth it. Dean,
you pull a muscle reaching for that one?
Just
for the road.
Hold on a minute. Let me blow the dust off that joke.
Wow. Those of us in this room really appreciate that.
That's like a book of secrets right there.
Guys, there's no one outside the radio station listening to us anymore, so we can just amuse ourselves
now.
That's
true.
Lara? When we come back, we get inside Danny Lynn's bedroom.
That's embarrassing.
Never before seen footage.
Dude.
My God.
Oh, and they loved themselves last night. All these reality shows, all these tabloid shows. We weren't just close to the Golden Globes. We were in them. Shut up.
Wow.
Because there was no one else to announce the winners. They had Lara Spencer up there with Mary Hart announcing winners. And that was a big feather in their cap.
Right.
That's why no one watched, you a-holes, because you people were on it. Got like 5 million viewers.
Are you saying that Danny Lynn's patch is not important?
I'm going to ask you this straight up. I'm Mark Steinis from Entertainment Tonight. Is Danny Lynn going blind?
No, we just put a patch in her eyes so she won't be cross-eyed.
Oh, now he's out. Now Steinis is out.
Of course.
Let's go and see what her bedroom looks like.
Hate.
Why?
I hate.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lisa. You remember the Cult Jam, don't you?
Sure.
She's 41 years old today. Bean loves her, apparently.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Once you wore glasses, he liked her. Chad Lowe. He's an actor. He is the brother of Rob Lowe and the ex-husband of Hillary Swank. He's 40 years old today. Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Celebrates his birthday today. Captain Beefheart is 67.
Oh, sure.
And Charo turns 57 years old today. She's a young 57.
Sure she is.
You know, Charo's thinking about going on Dance with the Stars.
Is she?
Yeah. I would like that to happen. So I can ignore them both at the same time.
That'd be nice.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I know we shouldn't expect too much out of O.J. Simpson because he is, after all, a double murderer, allegedly. But don't be stupid on top of that. Don't kill people and then act dumb. That's all I'm saying.
You want to be a smart killer?
Well, I'm just saying you got a free pass. Why not? Why screw it up?
Remember last year when they were in Las Vegas and they were going through that whole court thing with him breaking into the hotel room, trying to steal back his memorabilia.
Yes.
And the court said you can have no contact with anybody in this case.
Right. And all of your co-defendants, save it for trial. Don't try to get in contact with them. Don't email them. Don't call them on the phone. Don't send them a letter. If you see them out on the street, you cross the street to avoid them. Is that clear, Mr. Simpson? Yes, sir, it is. Well, now tell them what happened.
Well, apparently, the judge also said, you understand that means no third parties either. You can't call somebody and have them contact. You understand that, right? And he said, yes, sir. Well, apparently he called and left a message with his bail bondsman and told his bail bondsman to get in touch with this guy that was going to testify against him.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then the bail bondsman flew to Florida, caught O.J. Simpson, forced him onto a plane, brought him back to Vegas where he's now in jail.
That's right. Wow. And he gets in front of a judge, I guess, tomorrow to find out whether he's going to stay in jail until the trial begins in April. And O.J. on the line from the Clark County Jail right now on the Kevin and Bean Chunk Hero. Good morning, Juice.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, you sound pretty like your spirits are pretty high considering you're back in jail for nobody's fault but your own.
Of course my spirits are high. I'm the Juice.
Right.
And I'm not worried about this. I think the whole thing's a big misunderstanding.
What's the misunderstanding? They have a voice message that you left with your bail bondsman. They have. The court has that.
But I wasn't trying to contact the guy. I was just leaving a message for the bail bondsman.
And what was the message that you were leaving for him?
I said, tell the other guys that I've got a knife and a spoon and a fork.
Right.
And I misplaced my knife.
Right.
I hope I don't find it in their throat.
That was the message.
Okay. Yeah. I was looking for my knife so I could eat my meal. That's all.
Oh,
right.
I see.
But what it sounds like, especially based on who it's coming from, is a threat to kill if this guy, Clarence Stewart, testifies against you.
That's the white media taking everything out of context.
OJ, they have your voicemail.
How do they know it's me?
Because you say, hi, it's me, OJ.
Anybody can say that. Maybe it's because a really good impersonator.
Because a lot of people are calling and impersonating you like that?
Yeah, maybe it's Frank Caliendo.
Nice. Yeah, well, it could be. That's true.
All right, nobody could impersonate you, OJ. You're the real OJ, and that's why we're talking to you on this show.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's my point.
Okay, but what I'm saying is this. The judge said do not contact these people. What part of that did you not understand to the point where you don't end up in jail?
Oh, don't contact these people.
Right.
Oh, that's where the breakdown in communication was.
No, he said, do you understand? You said yes.
I thought he said, feel free to contact these people.
Oh, therein lies
the get together for a reunion.
Before the trial?
A memorabilia stealing reunion.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I just got to explain it. I was confused, that's all.
I see.
Hey, Juice, what's it like for a guy like you, so high-profile, a celebrity on top of a double murderer? I mean, do they give you a wide berth, the other prisoners there in prison?
They do. They stay away from me, oddly enough. I don't know why, especially at mealtime.
Really?
Right.
We're all sitting down, and I'm cutting my steak.
Right. They give you a knife?
It's a spork.
A spork?
Really.
You can do a lot of damage with a spork.
I'm pretty good with a spork.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I've worked with all kinds of implements of death.
Is that right?
And I could take your eye out with a spork.
I'm sure you could.
And eat it. That's the good thing about a fork. You can take something out and you can still use it to eat.
That's why people are afraid of you.
That may be why.
I can understand.
Okay. Matt and I have done a lot of drugs with paid rolls or rare rolls.
I've heard that, yeah.
Matt made me a little nuts.
All right, OJ. Well, best of luck, I guess, there in prison.
I don't think you mean that.
No, I don't, no. No, my name is Bean, too, by the way, so come get me.
I'm going to kill you.
It's time for your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
You guys have seen producer Lightning walking around today on three legs. He's so excited. Here's why. We're giving away a pair of tickets to Supercross Round 2 at the Angel Stadium of Anaheim, January 19th. It's a special throwback night featuring the 1986 Supercross track and more.
Are they wearing the throwback jerseys?
Yes, they are. Yes, they're the throwback outfits, throwback motorcycles, throwback track, the whole deal. Going back to 1986, playing the 86 music, the whole deal. Lightning says this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. So I guess we're excited, too. 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get tickets to see the Supercross in Anaheim.
All right, let's begin with Mike in Hacienda Heights. Good morning, Mike.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
All right, what's up with Terrell Owens crying last night?
How great is that?
I was laughing at my TV. I mean...
For those of you that don't know the story behind the scenes, you don't follow football or whatever, Ralph, tell people about T.O. and his problems with teamwork.
He has been a cancer on every team he's ever been on until he got to the Dallas Cowboys. He threw his quarterback, Jeff Garcia, when he was with the Niners, threw him under the bus by saying publicly in an interview that he thought he was gay, alluding to the fact that he was gay. When he played with Don McNabb in Philadelphia, he said the team would be better off if Brett Favre was their quarterback, said he was the reason that they didn't win the Super Bowls because McNabb got tired. He's really just been a guy who's very willing to throw a quarterback under the bus.
It's like the Barry Bonds of football. And that's why
me.
That's why it's so funny when they lost the game that he ended up crying.
This is not about... You know, Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair.
Cry about it.
It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
All he's
it's
ever
really
done.
Unfair.
Sorry. All he's ever done is point fingers, and it's never been about team.
Yep.
They lost because he blew the touchdown winning catch.
Yeah. How about asking him why he didn't catch more passes?
Exactly. Yeah. And my prediction for the Super Bowl is the Chargers and the Packers.
Chargers.
New
Packers.
England.
No kidding.
New England is not. The NFL Network is basing their predictions off something that happened 35 years ago.
What's he talking about?
What are you talking about?
When Miami went unbeaten.
19-0.
Yeah, but dude, I mean, as much as I would like to see that happen, I'm no Patriots fan. Chargers are banged up, man, and they're going in there limping.
Oh yeah, they're banged up, but I mean, they did good even without Rivers and LT.
They didn't have Rivers or LT. Their star running back and quarterback.
But that wasn't against the Patriots.
Yeah,
that's right.
And
no one's ever. I mean, the Dolphins
Volek
go
isn't
going to
play a whole game
don't be confused by that.
Yeah.
What, Bean?
I was just saying, he was saying the last team that went 19-0. Miami didn't even have that many games to play when they went undefeated back in 72. And we're getting into uncharted territory with the Patriots as the best record of all time here. I don't know. It's tough to bet against them right now. That's for sure.
It's easy to root against them, though. I'll tell you that.
It is. Breeze's got two bum knees now. LT's been struggling.
Yeah.
I think they're in for a really, really rough ride.
Eduardo in Canoga Park. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Gene with a J?
Nice.
Oh, burn.
What's going on?
Hey, Ralph's right. I watched Sarah Connor Chronicles last night.
How good was that?
That was a great show. And Lena Headey, wow, I wish she could toss me around, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was a good show. It's part one on Sunday night, part two last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, part one.
Eduardo, where did you get Gene with a J, by the way? Where did that come from?
Well, because I'm tired of you making fun of Ralph, calling him Frank.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
What's wrong with you?
But I don't have a J in my name, though. I don't understand. You confuse me.
Well, you got sent a letter saying with J with a gene, and you were very upset about that.
Yeah. Remember that?
You're paying too close of attention.
Eduardo knows more about my life, apparently, than I do. But thank you for the call. Yeah, that big ratings Ralph was saying earlier on that new Terminator TV series. So maybe we'll check it out.
Best for a new Fox show in 3 or 4 years.
Fantastic. Yeah. Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, what is it doing, that foo?
Nope. Done.
Nope. Rejected.
Finished. Finished with that. No more foo.
Hey,
what's going on?
Breaking news.
The
Olympic Committee decided over the weekend that the guy with no legs cannot run in the Olympics.
Well, duh.
Yeah, they decided he's got an advantage because of his prosthetics. Yeah.
Because they got springs.
Oh, he's got, like, both fake legs?
I thought they were just saying a guy with no legs couldn't run the Olympics. Right. I could have told him that.
What, if you got no legs, you can't run.
What, are they just taunting him? You can run.
Well,
so the guy had two fake legs, and he was trying to get in.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he was bionic.
The guy with no arms, he can't throw the shot put.
Exactly. That's a good point, Jenner.
There's a little comedy for you right there.
Thank you for that punchline.
There's a guy with no arms and no legs who's trying to get the Olympics?
Yeah.
They called him metal. No, that doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't get that.
Wow.
We'll work on that one off the air.
Wow.
All right, we got about 1 minute here. Let's go to Nick.
Nick.
In Anaheim. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, what did you do, nephew?
What did you do?
Baby Boo, I love you.
Thank you, Nick.
Hey, so Kevin, you got it right, man, about that American Idol crap.
No, oh, I so hate that.
Tell them to keep that crap off the TV.
I like the bad people, but as soon as they turn good, man, I am so out and everyone talks about it all day, every day.
Yeah, they should keep it off of TV because not a lot of people like it. Nobody watches.
If you want to watch Retard Scene, go see karaoke. At least all right. Strong people.
Nick, it's just you and me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sitting in a tree.
Alone in your
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. How much time till this show blows up? How much time do I have here?
30 seconds.
John Lair, thank you for stopping by. 10 Items or Less is the show. TBS with Season 2 premiere tonight at 11 o'clock. Very funny. Check it out. Don't forget Jed the Fish coming in next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Death Cab for Cutie. Also, we got Rise Against Red Hot Chili Peppers, G-Meat Rolled, and more. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on the